across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
You're a pilgrim.
Dear listener, welcome to the Late Night Alternative. Last show of the week. I'm Ian Lee. Who are you?
Catherine Boyle.
Oh, very, very, very exciting. You can call us, of course you can, 0344 499 1000. But or you might just want to sit back and relax, as we've got live on the phone, it's Robin Asquith. Hey, Robin, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Ian. Sat here perched on the edge of a cliff.
God, don't do it, Robin. Don't do it.
Metaphorically and literally.
Yeah, that was... Now, when we get a guest on, I always like to have a little dig around
and see
if someone's... if they've ever done a record. Was that you just singing?
Yes, it was. It was written by Ray Cameron and produced by Ray Cameron, who's Michael McIntyre's father.
No.
It was written by him. I was doing Confessions of a Holiday Camp, I think, at the time, and they. Yeah. People said, you know, why haven't you done? You know, Eric Hall, the football agent.
Monster.
Him. He really said, oh, come on, you've got to make a record, this, that, and the other. And Mike King from the King Brothers was another guy. Yeah. And I said, yeah, there was one drawback here, I can't sing. And he said, no, that doesn't stop anyone. And so they wrote the song, banged me in the studio, and that was it. And I sang it live on the Mark Boland show, which was sensational.
What? Now, I'm aware of the Mark Boland show. This was this weird kind of... Mm. It was pop and rock and roll, but it was also like a kid's tea time show. David Bowie famously was on it. And you did it live.
Yeah, I did it live because they just changed the rule that you couldn't mime.
Right.
It must be changed again now. So you couldn't mime, which, of course, I thought, oh, no. And I was touring my... Confessions live show. So I was in Leeds. I had to go to Granada, which was in Manchester. And I was pooing myself because I thought, oh my God, I can't sing. I've got to sing. You know, because when you're in a studio, you double track things, you sing along to set tracks. You know, there's all sorts of things you can do. So I was wetting myself. And also, it was Mark Boland, for heaven's sake, who apparently quite liked me. And it was produced by, do you remember Pussycat Willem, before your time?
That's a little bit before my time, Grandad.
It was a children's show, and I can't think of her name now. The producer of Mark was the lady that used to operate Pussycat Willem and Fred Owl. Once again,
right,
before your time. Anyway, so I went on, and you can see it on YouTube. There I am singing and dancing with girly dancers and stuff, and singing live.
Where are you right this thing? So you're on a mountain. Are you in Gozo?
Yeah, I'm in Gozo. I was over doing some... I did my pantomime and then did some other bits and pieces. I was doing my one-man show all over the place. And then something I did with Stuart Lee, which I can mention in a minute. And then I thought, I'll just come back here. Then I got locked down. You know, that's the end of it. I was supposed to be in the UK this week. But that's why I contacted you and some other radio people, because usually you only go on the radio when you're plugging something. And I thought, and people like yourself always say, oh, you must come back, it doesn't matter. And you never do, because you've always got to have something to plug. Well, I've got nothing to plug.
Beautiful.
I'm sat on the cliff here, phoning radio presenters.
What is... I've got my friend Catherine here as well, who's doing the show.
Hey, Robin.
Hello,
very nice to
darling.
Meet you.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Did you see how his tone changed?
He did a bit.
He's all chirpy chappy with me. Hello, darling. Nice to see you.
because I don't know her. I know you. You've come into a house that I was staying in and poured coffee all over me. We've shared liquids.
You remember that?
We did share.
That was one of the most embarrassing things. I get invited to the house you're staying in, and we're having a chat, and I just poured coffee all over the place. It was
everywhere.
Awful.
That means he likes you, Robin.
All over the table, sofa, me, you. I thought it was something you did to sort of provoke a reaction.
I was surprised. It wasn't that bad, but you insisted we both take our trousers off, which I thought was a little excessive.
No, well, it was good, and it was good radio.
It was good fun. It was good bonding. I don't know Gozo, but as someone I used to work with years and years ago, Leo Martin, who worked on the 11 o'clock show and stuff, she's over there a lot, but I don't know what Gozo is. Is it an island?
Yeah, well, yes, it's an island off Malta. And
right.
I first came here in 1969. I was doing a commercial with Ridley Scott, who I'd just done a commercial for Summer County. And he said, oh, I'm doing another one with my brother, Tony Scott, for Thompson Sky Tours. It involves driving beach buggies a la Steve McQueen on a beach and snogging girls. We thought it'd be your cup of tea. And I have no idea, Kath, why that would be.
I've seen your films, mate. Don't pull that one.
You asked Samir Ahmed. I'm a beta male. I came over to Malta to do the filming, and somebody brought me on a speedboat over to Gozo, and I just fell in love with the place all those years back. And wherever I've been and stayed and gone to in the world, I've always come back here and have lived here for 27 years.
Now, we were emailing a bit, and it's so nice. I was so thrilled when you emailed, and I texted Cassie. Robin wants to come on the show, and of course, without a moment's hesitation. And I said, all the other shows are doing. You could die of this, and you must not go out.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that.
No, and I said, well, you know, what we're doing is we're entertaining the troops. You know, this is
correct.
Kind of our wartime effort. I'm George Formby, and Kath is Gracie Fields. And you went, oh, I've got a Gracie Fields story. Can you tell it on the radio?
Pardon?
Can you tell it on the radio?
Most probably not, but I'm going to.
Here we go. I love
it. It's a great story. It's, I've just followed you, by the way, Kath, on Twitter now, because I'm addicted to the bloody...
I shall follow you back.
That's got nothing to do with this at all. But no, it was a friend of mine had got to know David Niven very well. And David Niven was a womaniser and very popular with the ladies. And this lady friend of mine told me this wonderful story. He was having dinner in Monaco with Prince Rainier. Was it Prince Rainier or King Rainier? What was he? Prince Rainier, who was also a womanizer and ran Monaco and everything else, and at the time, of course, had married Grace Kelly. And Prince Rainier leant across to David Niven and said, listen, you have slept with more women than even me, you know. Tell me honestly, David, who is the best in bed of all of them? And there was a pause, and David Niven went, oh, that's easy. It was Grace C. Fields. Isn't that brilliant?
There is no autobiography finer than The Moon's a Balloon.
When I wrote mine, which is
the second finest, of course, yes.
Hey?
Yours is the second finest, just after Moon's a Balloon, yes.
Well, funny enough, to write, you have to read. That's the way, as you must really know, that's how it works. So to write the book I had to write, I read Moon's a Balloon, Bring on the Empty Horses. I read some Nick Hornby, Stephen Fry, and all sorts of other stuff, a lot of autobiographies. But nothing got me in the mood more than Moon's a Balloon. It's absolutely sensational. And written by himself.
Yeah, it's relentless, and every now and then you read a bit and you go, well, this may be made up, but who cares? But the anecdote about David Niven that I always tell my boys, and I don't, my boys who are 10 and 8, is the bit where he's out skiing and he has a pee and he gets frostbite in his willy and he has to ski down a mountain to a bar and gets a glass of brandy and just puts his dick in the brandy to stop the frostbite.
You cock over. There's something in there.
Carpet, Carpet Martin has tweeted us saying, this is very bossy, Robin to tell the Zeffirelli story.
I can't tell that on the radio.
Can you not?
Well, I can, but he's dead, of course, now, so you can say what you like. And when you write an autobiography, the first thing the lawyers say to you is make a dead list. And you say, what do you mean? Well, whoever you're writing about who's dead, because basically you can say anything amazingly about anyone that's dead, but when they're alive, you can't. So I've always had to go very, very careful, but I know this Carpet Martin. He's on a radio station, isn't he? Riverside.
Yeah, he's good. He's a funny guy. Yeah, very funny guy.
Yeah, but he came to my stand-up quite recently, and obviously where he's picked this up from, and it's quite a complicated story, but it led to, it drops all sorts of names, but basically it starts with me making a film called Brother, Son, Sister, Moon, directed by Franco Zeffirelli, and it was a miserable experience. We were all monks, and Peter Firth, Mickey Feast, Ken Cranham, Lee Lawson, there was a whole load of us all dressed up as monks, being thoroughly miserable, wafting around Gubbio and Assisi, because it was about St. Francis of Assisi, and getting stoned, and in any case, things would happen. We were staying in this monastery, and things would happen untoward, which nowadays would most be able to take someone to court and make a great deal of money out of it. But things were happening that weren't particularly of my sexual interest, let's put it like that. And it became most disturbing. And a great actor, writer, Bruce Robinson, who wrote With Nell and I, and
With Nell,
the film is about him, had warned me, because he was on Romeo and Juliet, that all this might happen. I think I'm swerving around this quite well here.
You're doing it wonderfully.
So I had enough of it, and eventually, with the help of the props guys and everything, I escaped in a lorry to Rome Airport. I actually ran away from a film escaped and got to Heathrow Airport, and I mean, obviously, in the live stage version, I can go into a lot more detail. But at the airport, I'm stopped, and I had a purple pair of loons on trousers, a T-shirt. I was very skinny because I'd taken so much weight, and I also had a tonsure. And so I looked quite odd. And the customs man said, I just want to go through your stuff here in the case. And I said, yeah, go on. I was just so pleased to be back in England. And so he opened the case and went through. He said, what's this then? And there was a matchbox with some roaches in. And he said, what's this then? I said, no. I said, well, it's nothing. I said, it's cannabis resin, sir. I said, well, it might have been, but it's not anymore. You know, it's just the ends of a thing. Oh, all right, so I'd come through, and he took me through to another room. He bent me over the table and put a rubber glove on and did a bit more exploring. And I turned around and said, you know, it's a funny thing, life. I said, but I've just been avoiding this for the last 3 months. And that gives you the rough tone of the story, that gets to the punchline. But there's a little bit more, which is a few days later, I get a call from a strange call, unintelligible Italian accent. Hello, Robin Asquith. I said, yes, who is this? He said, my name is Pier Paolo Pasolini. And I said, oh,
And whoa! You can't say that, Sam! Don't! You can't drop an F-bomb!
F-off.
You can't, thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Sam, thank you. Apologies to the people watching on YouTube. Go on.
Oh, I see. Of course, bloody I forgot about that. No.
We're on the radio!
Oh, of course! Yeah, but they're watching on YouTube. It's too complicated. I'm poised on the end of a cliff. It's too complicated for me to understand any of it.
Come on,
I was doing so well. I apologise for that. That will not happen again.
Don't worry. We got it.
I told you this story would end in tears. Anyways, that's how I met, very fortunately, Pier Paolo Pasolini, because it was Pier Paolo Pasolini who hated Zeffirelli and rather liked the fact that I'd run away from him. And that's how I became to be in Canterbury Tales.
Robin, do I remember correctly? Because it was a while that we met. Did you meet Jimi Hendrix?
Yes.
Didn't you? Go on, give us that one again. I love it.
But listen, do you know what I thought you might do tonight as a surprise?
Go on.
I thought you might get our mutual friend on the phone.
Oh, Leo Martin. I've not spoken to Leo.
No, Mickey Dolenz.
I could have got Mickey on the phone. Of course I could have got Mickey on the phone.
I thought, because I know how clever you are, I suddenly began, hey there, Robin. I thought he was going to be there.
For those who've never heard Mickey speak, let me tell you, that's a surprisingly good impression. Because you would have been at ITV, I'm going to guess 82, 83, when he was doing Metal Mickey, and
correct,
you were doing Bottle Boys, I suppose.
Correct. But we were introduced in the 70s by a guy called David Bell, who was the head of Light Entertainment at London Weekend, who said, if there's two guys that should ever get together, it's Robin Asquith and Mickey Dolenz. And to be honest, we hated each other, because there's nothing worse than being told you get on with somebody comedically and everything. But then we became firm friends and still are to this day. But we never actually did anything, rather sadly. And we had a great idea for a television series, which now would be called Mrs. Brown's Boys. It was the two of us larking around in a television studio with the cameras, going in and out of a situation comedy, which, of course, was laughed out of the studio. That was our idea, and it was turned down. But you're right, then a few years later, he was doing Metal Mickey at the same time I was doing Bottle Boys.
You two working, because here's one of the things about, indulge me, dear listener, on a slightly geeky monkeys chat. A, he's got a brilliant voice.
Fantastic.
People forget, he's a great actor as well. He's a really funny actor.
I know. Hi there. He's terrific. No, he's terrific all round. And he just had enough of everything. This, but for the people listening, he'd had enough of everything. And the monkeys were sort of sinking a little bit, and there was a lot of... And he didn't know what to do. So he came to England, and he married... a lovely lady called Trina, had three daughters, and through that whole era, that sort of 10 years, he and I were pretty inseparable.
Wow.
And he became very English. He took up polo, he bought a hall, he had a tennis court, and a sports pavilion, which was called the Asquith Pavilion, where we put all our, you know, squash things and tennis rackets, and he became like the lord of the manor. But we never actually were together. But that's right. We were at London Weekend together, and under David Bell, if you'll excuse the expression, and John Burt, rather bizarre.
Wow.
Because I know Kath wants to hear about Jimmy.
Of course I do. Tell me.
Don't sound sarcastic.
I'm not being sarcastic.
No. Well, I feel like Kath has nodded off.
No. I'm mesmerised.
Again, you're sounding sarcastic.
I'm Northern. This is how I sound.
Oh, I apologise.
Well, I'm Northern. I'm from Southport.
Are you? My grandma's in Southport.
Who did?
My grandma.
Do you know her?
No, you wouldn't.
No, my grandmother used to live in Southport.
She lived in Banks.
Road.
Oh, there we go.
You're not related, wouldn't this be something?
No, my grandma... My grandma was from Salford, and she went out there as a pensioner.
Right, okay.
As many do.
Okay. Tell us the bloody Hendrix story, Asquith.
Oh, yeah, Hendrix. No, so I was making a film in Hollywood. It was called Hans Brinker and the Silver Skates. I played Hans Brinker, the main part, and I was about 19, and John Gregson was my father. Eleanor Parker was my mother. Fantastic cast. Richard Basehart played this doctor. He was fantastic to work with. You know, 19 to work with all these people was amazing. But a whole section of it was shot in Studio Hamburg. And I think we were like in Studio Hamburg for about 16 weeks. It was a huge shoot. And a lot of singing and dancing on ice as well. We had to train how to ice skate and dance. And as a treat, because we worked so hard, the producer said, we're going to take you to see Jimi Hendrix tonight at the whatever Halle in Hamburg, which would have been one of his last performances, actually. And so we were sat on the front. Now, he'd been told there's these actors, Hollywood actors coming, would come backstage to meet him afterwards. So I was taken backstage by this gorgeous sort of girl with a split skirt and a reeking of cigarettes and all sorts. I thought, oh my God, this is so cool. We were taken backstage, and there was Jimi Hendrix with his purple pair of trousers and women sort of draped off him and a spliff the size of it was a Camberwell carrot, you know, it was a real Withnail and I jobby. And he's gone, hey, Mr. Brinkerman, to me, have a talk on this. Now, I really hardly drink and hardly do, you know, that I really am quite very well behaved. But of course, you can't say no, it's Jimi Hendrix.
No.
So I got very stoned with Jimi Hendrix, who then confused me with Brian Jones. He thought I was who he knew. But he got so stoned, he thought I was Brian. So he was going, hey, dude, Brian, you know. Because I can't play any instruments at all. So we were going off to these clubs in Hamburg, as with Jimi Hendrix, but having to avoid playing any instrument because I couldn't play any instrument. And Brian Jones, as you know, could practically play every instrument. So
You did have a look of the Brian Jones about you when you were a young man.
Yeah. Yeah, but I once...
I suppose if you're stoned, it's even more so.
Hey?
Yeah, I suppose if someone's stoned, you look even more like Brian Jones.
Yeah, exactly. No, and it's particularly then, you know, stoned and young, and, definitely.
How are you doing, Robbie, just for a second, to get a little bit current, because I know that you kind of got some ideas about this. What is Gozo in lockdown? Because we're not really allowed to leave our homes at the moment, unless an emergency. What's the situation
there? Why do you think
there?
I'm phoning radio presenters that I know?
Are you going crazy?
I'm going crazy. No, we are in lockdown, and we're at tiny little island, and as yet have no cases at all. Because the only way you can get onto this island is by a little ferry, we're not letting anyone on, and not letting anyone off.
Brilliant.
And so I wave goodbye to Tracy, who introduced me to you via the Twitter account, which
she started
ran
up the
in
Twitter,
those
yeah.
days. And that's how I got to know you, Ian. And she left. It was like the last scene of Casablanca. She's gone. One of the last planes out of here. And I'm stuck here. But to be fair, there's been no... there's cases in Malta, about 300, but no deaths. And on Gozo, none at all. But we are locked down. But
you were telling me that you got you trained for this as a kid. Were you in an iron lung?
Yeah, well, I am. I am no stranger to pandemics. When I was four. The polio was rife, and particularly rife, Kat, in the northwest of England, as your gran will tell you. And mind you, I must have went out with your gran, as Ian said. But
she's a bit older than you, Robin.
wouldn't have stopped him.
I was very. I don't know whether I've got this picture that I found, and my Twitter account, as you most of you know, is just fun, and it's celebratory, and it's just funny anecdotes and waffle. But I found this picture today, actually, of me and my friend David sitting at Rotten Row in Southport by the pond, and we both swam in that pond. 3 weeks later, he was dead, and I was in an iron lung. I was in hospital for 9 months and came out in a wheelchair and was told I would never, ever walk again, and so get over it. You wonder at the time how careful people were. They obviously weren't. They didn't know how it was being caught. It was rife. And if you're stupid enough to Google iron lungs, you'll see pictures of rows and rows of people. We look like chickens with their heads poked out.
It's an incredible sight.
So in other words,
it?
To answer your question, yes, I'm quite well prepared for self isolation, having been shoved in a room for 9 months.
And what are you doing apart from harassing radio hosts?
Yeah.
What are you? Are you watching films? Are you reading?
I'm reading. I'm reading Max Hastings' The History of Vietnam, which I've always wanted to read, which is a long book and needs a bit of concentration. I've now got time for that. I'm reading Jonathan Coe's What a carve up. I've got a few going on at the same time. A couple of Tintin books going.
Brilliant.
And I'm feeding cats and rescuing them, as I always do. And in fact, I was bitten quite badly by one of these cats just before all this happened and had all the injections and stuff. So,
well, you can probably hear some banging in the background. That'll be two of my four cats are dicking around like idiots. My two youngest cats have just been done, and one's just had her cone taken off her.
She's making the most of it.
She is. So they're running around like absolute idiots tonight. What are you doing, Pats? Just
how many cats you got?
I've got four. I had five, but my girl, who was nearly 21, passed away recently, so I'm down to four now. I love it.
21?
The best. Yeah, nearly 21. Proper old lady. It was wonderful, but with my velvet. She passed away a little while ago, and so I've got...
But you must have had... I'm not quite sure how old you are, but that's all your life, you know.
May God bless
you.
Yeah,
I know, but a lot of your life, you know.
Yeah, when this madness is over, and it will end, we will come out the other side. Let's come over, come in the studio, let's all go out for a meal or something.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great.
That would be my treat.
I want to look in Kath's eyes to see if she's nodded off or if she's genuinely quite interested in my waffle.
Robin, I'm very interested, Robin.
You're such a lovely man, and you're so kind, and thank you so much for sending that email. I was absolutely thrilled, and I look forward to seeing you again, mate.
It's been a blast. I love talking to you both. It's been brilliant. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. We should probably take a break. We've missed two. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Celebrities out there listening, you're very, very welcome to come on.
Do you remember that time Tony Robinson just phoned us up out of nowhere?
Yes, I do. I love that. You're very welcome. And I know I'm aware, whenever we have a guest on that we like, which is nearly all of them, we always say, oh, you can come on anytime you want.
Yeah.
And I'm now aware that actually... they probably get told that a lot, and it's not meant. But we genuinely mean it.
Exactly.
You can come on anytime you want.
Normally when they come into the office and I see them out afterwards, I'll say, honestly, it's not showbiz bullshine. When we say you're welcome back anytime, seriously, if you're just like passing by, if you're bored or whatever, just give us a shout.
And I like the fact that he thought he's bored. He's stuck on an island. His partner's over here. I think it did something to do with the NHS, I think. And he thought he'd take a punt and see if that offer was genuine or not. Oh, lovely, lovely man. And he really enjoyed that. This is what the show is about, dear listener. It is about dicking around. It's about having a laugh. It is about forgetting all of the nonsense. And what better way to forget all of the nonsense, Catherine, than to speak to Andre.
Hi, hello, Cam.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hi.
Well, yes. Why, yes. They're economical, but there you go. All right, Ian? Ian?
I'm all right. Yes?
Everyone's flipping ignoring me. Everyone is ignoring me. I'm walking, changing the side of the roads, standing away from me, asking me to do shopping. It's a flipping joke. It's a flipping joke. What's happening? I said, I'm just going shopping. Ian, yeah? Hello? I said, there's a bite of milk. I said, yeah, all right. And then someone said, can I go to the chemist? Went to the chemist. Come back. And I said, I'm doing the gardening. Oh, can you do mine as well?
How long have you lived there?
It's a joke.
Have you seen what your friend Patterson recently? No, I've not seen
it for years. Matt, I might as well talk to myself here.
I can't on people like Frank who have you out with you.
Hello?
I was wondering if you could help me track down a few people.
Anyone there?
I'm here.
Hello?
I'm here.
Who's that?
It's Alan.
One name that always comes to mind.
Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Who's that?
Frank. Oh, you're the first person who said that to me all week.
Yeah?
You're the first person who spoke to me.
Yeah?
Hi, Alan. I'm
great. All right.
Yeah, you?
Not bad.
Yeah.
I've got no idea what happened there. It sounded like Alan called Andre a knobhead and then hung up on him.
Did he?
Knobhead.
Yeah, surely not. Not bad, wasn't it?
I thought he called him a knobhead. I don't know what that was about. Oh, Barry from Watford.
Hello there.
Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute.
Barry.
Hang on. Hang on. Hang on.
Keep your spirits up. Special theme tune.
Yep, it's time, everyone. Coming.
Keep your spirits up.
Special. My poor neighbours. Sorry, David. Sorry, Sydney. Yes, Barry.
Yes, and I'm keeping your spirits up, very special it is and all. I quickly tried to phone in to speak to Andre and Alan.
You didn't want to speak to Robin Asquith?
Very much. I love some of his movies.
The Mucky
Wonderful.
Ones.
The Mucky Ones, yeah. The Confessions of Window Cleaner. Anything with any boobs in it. Really good. Strong stuff.
Barry.
Very good.
Barry. Yeah.
Hello?
Can we speak mano a mano?
That doesn't mean man to man.
It does.
No.
What does it mean?
It means hand to hand.
Can we speak
man? And that's not allowed at the moment.
Please. This is important. Can we speak man to man, please, my friend?
Yes, we can.
When I say friend, I don't actually mean friend. It's a figure of speech.
No, that's rather a strong term, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to raise a topic that is going to upset you, but let me finish because it's important. A couple
is
of nights ago,
is this me getting the elbow? This is not the Spanish Archer, is it?
Isn't that when you can't get an erection?
What?
No.
What is the elbow?
And you don't want me to phone in, is it?
No. It's the Spanish fly I'm thinking of. That's the thing to help you.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, I can get you some more of that if you need it. Don't worry.
I'm okay for the moment. It's a bit quiet.
Carry on.
Thank you so much. It is my show.
Okay. Shoot.
So I will.
Let's see.
Okay.
You're going to do some talking?
I'm going to do some talking. Let's go. You both stop trolling me.
All right.
He's trolling me.
Okay.
I've been like this, Barry.
Go.
Barry.
Go.
Barry. I will. No, it's my show. I'll go. I'm going. Barry, a couple of nights ago, your drug-addicted ex-prisoner son, David St. Michael, phoned up and threatened to kill me.
I know.
Let me finish. It was water off a duck's back to me because I'm a tough guy.
No, you were cacking your pants.
Shut up, was I cacking my pants?
You was.
I was not. But some of our listeners, Barry, were very upset by that and had a sleepless night. One of them was Sonia, wasn't it, Sonia?
It was.
That was Barry's son, Sonia, that phoned up to threaten me. What would you like to say to him?
He mustn't do that. You're a wonderful man. Mm. Kat is a wonderful girl.
Mm.
You're a wonderful boy.
Mm.
Yeah. What was about your friend? Did it upset you?
It really upset me. I went to sleep crying because he's such a nice guy, Ian. He does only good for people, not bad. And it really, really upset me.
Old pencil, mate. You're joking, aren't you?
Shut your face. Your son upset Sonia.
Sonia, my darling. Hello?
You shouldn't have to apologise for your son. It's not you. You're a nice man.
Yes, I am. And you sound like a jolly nice lady. And can I just say this? I will speak to Dave and I will chastise him.
That's right.
It's supposed to be a Keep Your Spirits Up special.
Exactly.
He's coming like a big thug that he is.
He couldn't even get his words out properly.
No, he talks very, very fast, doesn't he?
Yeah, but one of my sons does as well. But not like that, but it's not aggressive. No more.
Right, well, I want you to know that Ian's very precious to all of us. And my son, Dave. He's a psychopath, so don't worry. I will speak to him and I'll make sure there's no more trouble. All right, my darling.
I've just got one message to give to Ian, so I won't be on the phone long. So can I give it while you're on the phone?
You're talking to me now. Yeah, it's a bit rude.
Tell Ian something about pussycat.
Oh, okay. None taken.
Ian?
What did you say? It's about pussy?
Pussycat Willem.
Okay.
Muriel Young, her name was. I used to do her hair for her.
It all links up. I'm laughing because that's such a strange revelation. It all links up.
How?
Well, because, well, I don't, you're right, it doesn't. Do you, Sonia, do you accept Barry's apology on behalf of his drug-addicted son?
I do, but it's not really fair. His son's been unfair to his father. You only have one father and one mother.
That's right. Thank you very much, and I'll tell him, and he's a very naughty boy.
Very naughty.
Thank you,
Sonia. He wasn't such a drug-addled nightmare. I'll give him a piece of my mind.
Would you two, I was just thinking, this is a Keep Your Spirits Up special. Would you two like to sing an old song from the war?
Why not?
How old are you, Barry?
Oh, I'm 82 years old. I
will be Christmas 82.
Oh, my darling. Is, do you remember that lovely one? Hitler, what a tarag. Hitler,
Barry,
he was an old bag. Oh,
I'll tell you what. I've got more words. I'm Jewish. So you can imagine I had people die in the camps.
Oh.
My grandparents.
Well, thank you. This was supposed to be a to Keep Your Spirits Up special.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Brought us down a bit.
I'm sorry.
Sonia, do you know any songs from the war?
Yeah, We'll Meet Again.
Do you want to sing that with Barry?
Go on, then.
Okay.
Two, three, four.
We'll meet again.
We'll meet again. Keep smiling through. Just like
you do.
No, always do. Till the moon dies, chase the red cloud away.
We're too old, but the thing is, I feel half my age.
You feel half your age.
I don't feel old. I feel young.
No,
neither
do I.
And I'm told that I look young for my age. I've got blonde hair, like Barbara Windsor.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And I had a wonderful marriage as well.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, I did until we got stuck together in quarantine like this. Me and Margaret used to have a lovely marriage, but now we're stuck together all day getting on each other's nerves.
Where is she?
Hold on, she's...
Well, I would love it.
And then she's sat in the corner snarling.
Lucky to have her. My husband was an angel, most wonderful, wonderful man. My first boyfriend when I was 17.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, how lovely. Is he no longer with us all?
No, he passed away with MRSA, age 60. 20
oh,
years
God,
old.
I'm sorry.
No, it's one of the worst things that happened. But you keep happy together because I'm very, very fortunate. In my family, I'm the oldest living person. No one's reached more than 60. My mother was 40, my father was 60. My three brothers were under 70.
Oh, blimey. Well,
so
Sonia, and also, you're still alive, you're still going strong. There ain't no getting rid of you, let me tell you. And also, you're part of the extended family of this show as well. And a lot of people have a lot of affection, Sonia. It's always nice to hear you, my love. You take care. Yeah, of course it is.
Lovely, my John. Lovely. I'm the granddad and you're the grandmother of this
great-grandmother.
Show. Great-grandmother. You're the great-grandmother of this show.
Okay,
thank
darling.
You, Sonia. Nice to
God
talk
bless.
To you, my love.
Good night,
bless
Sonia.
You
take care,
lovely
Sonia.
Lady.
Bye-bye.
What a lovely lady.
That is an example, Barry, of class. Class.
That is classy.
Exactly. What I'm saying is, well, let me make it more explicit.
Right. Well, if you want to take me on, I'll send my son up there.
All right.
Anyway, let's all keep our spirits up.
Keep shining through, just like you always do. Some sunny day.
Goodbye, Barry.
Bye.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
there, Ian.
Oh, are we on? I've got no idea what's going on. I went to the break too early and... Oh, man. Kath's gone off making a coffee. I'm there tweeting Robin Asquith. So I messed up the ads then, Sam. I'm sorry. I'm not really with it today. I'm so tired today. I thought we had... So, what's happening?
So just talk up until 11 o'clock.
I don't think I can do it, Sam. I don't think I can do it. Can I ask, because I've not seen you, obviously, and I know that you're off for, you're not working on this show for a couple of weeks, and we've got Amy coming on next week, who's brilliant. How, and you're working in London, you're in the studios. Yep. What is it like there? Is the building empty?
It's pretty quiet, yeah, and like they've put in this new rule as of yesterday that now only two people are allowed in the control room, which means that like during other shows, the assistant producer has to just sit completely in a different studio to us. It's bonkers.
Yeah, well, that's the 2 metre thing, isn't it? You can't have three people in there and be 2 metres away. I don't understand why other shows would need more than two people.
Yeah, well, I get the feeling, though, from Monday, I think quite a lot more is going to be... Well, pretty sure everyone's going to be at home.
What shows are not at home, then? What shows are still there?
Currently, it's Mike Graham, whoever's doing afternoon, and Dan are all here.
Ay. I mean, it just doesn't seem worth the risk. Doesn't seem worth the risk, does it? Are you worried? Are you worried? I mean, I know that you're young, but it's still not risk-free. Are you concerned about it at all?
Yeah, I am a little, especially as, like, you know, I'm still getting the training, which isn't, I mean, it's empty, but it's still not exactly ideal.
Yeah. We didn't go to the news then, Kath, so you going off and making a coffee was only helping us. Wasn't helping the listener in any stretch of the...
Oh, they get enough.
They get plenty. It's weird times, isn't it? I'm tell you what, Sam, I'm really enjoying, actually, being at home. This is what I've trained for my whole life. And I'm aware I've got a nice house. I've got a garden, although I've not been in it. But today I've really felt lousy. I've not got the lurgy, but I've been just exhausted. And I'm waking up about 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm up, and I just can't. But part of me just wants to have it and get it out the way. And just keep my fingers crossed that I don't get it too badly. Then I've had it. And then I can go back and go out and be a helpful member of society. I don't know. What do you reckon, Boyle?
I know what you mean about that. But in the meantime, we're passing it on, you know.
In the meantime.
Just passing it on to people in my house and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, no, exactly. I mean, it's weird, isn't it? 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you'd be very, very welcome. You can talk about absolutely anything you want. You know the thing. I've not looked... any of the news stories. I've not got anything planned for tonight's show. So if you want to phone up and just dick around, you're very welcome to. Here we go. Mistress Francine has tweeted us.
Oh, thank goodness. I was wondering where she was.
Kath and Ian, thank you. It's so refreshing to hear something alternative and fun. I'm assuming doesn't mean that normally our show is quite boring. She's... May I ask for a shout out to the sex workers? Now, I'm assuming this phrase is deliberate. May I ask for a shout out to the sex workers whose work has dried up?
Oh my God.
It's unfortunate. We are a forgotten minority with mouths to feed and mortgages to pay. Kath, love your laugh, says Mistress Francine.
Thank you.
You are rather hot.
Thanks, Mistress. May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Webcams, innit?
You are. Let's, Oh, gosh. There's pictures and everything. I get it. There's all these little... Because, you know, if you've got a job, you're going to get 80% of your money, up to $2,500 a month. Great. They've now made things for self-employed people. Great. Me and you, really, really lucky because we're working. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Certainly till the end of June. But there are... the fringes of society, sex workers being one of them, but there'll be other fringes of societies that there's no real category for. Maybe they fall, you know, in the cracks of legality, maybe they're so small to the outside world, they're almost insignificant, but to the person who's doing it, it's their life. So there will be groups that there's no protection for and are kind of forgotten. As we know, some of our callers, you know, I'm sure would frown on sex workers as much as they frown on actors. Mm. You know, well, choose another career. But it's...
get a proper, quote-unquote, proper job.
Get a proper job. Get a proper job. So, yeah, it's... It's all so big that it's got to be concerning for, you know, people on the fringes. So, mistress, we wish you the very best of luck, and we will pass your details on to Barry from Watford. How's about that? 0344 499 1000. This is the Late Night Alternative weeknights from 10 with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Stop doing that, you dick. Sorry, sorry.
He's talking to the cat.
Well.
I think.
Yeah. Keep knocking my nuts off. And if I lose these nuts and I can't put the Yeti microphone back into the thing. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number, the late night alternative. It's the last one of the week. Next week, we're on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we're off for two nights. For God's sakes, give us those two nights. You can call in about absolutely anything you want. And we're not fussed. We're very, very low standards, particularly if you heard the last 20 minutes of the show. Let's go to Dredge. Good evening, Dredge.
Went to sleep last night listening to the new Bob Dylan song. Woke up this morning and the flaming thing was still on.
Have you heard this, Catherine? Bob Dylan has dropped an, in inverted commas, new song, 17 minutes long.
Yeah, about the topical subject, which is...
The assassination of Jonathan Fitzgerald King.
Now, you've listened to the whole thing, Dredge. Has he sorted it?
Well, I've only listened to the first 4 minutes myself.
Me too. It wasn't... But... It's obviously quite old because he's singing in it.
Uh-huh. What, properly? Well, Afro-fashion.
I've written some more of this parody. Which I will continue if that's okay, just for a few more lines.
Wow! Can I just say to the other callers, Dredge is asking for permission before doing his material. It's manners. It's just manners. Because you've been so polite and been such a good boy, yes, you can.
Oh, thank you very much.
No, thank you, no. Because you have treated me and Catherine Boyle like actual humans.
Yeah.
Actual humans, and no one does on this show. So thank you, Dredge. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
You're welling up, man.
I am welling up, man.
It's very moving.
Everyone treats us like...
No one ever thinks of us.
Thank you, John. You have made my night.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Just make sure the song's good, boy. No, that's very kind of you to ask permission. Away you go, sir.
Okay. The words are reasonably good, but there's not much of a tune. When I was listening, I thought, I hope to God the end is coming soon.
Soon.
His voice isn't what it was, and that is plain for all to see. In fact, now he makes John Lydon sound like Mr. Pavarotti.
He went all Eminem in the last bit.
There's one more line here.
Please do, mate.
I don't want to worry you or nothing at all like that, but the next song he's working on is twice the length of that. I just realised that I rhymed that with that.
It's all right. Dylan
will probably steal that. You know, Dylan's a musical thief. Mm. Steals, and puts it in where he wants.
I mean, why would you? I mean, how big an ego must you have to release a 17-minute song?
Well, here's the thing. Here is the important thing for Dylanologists, for that is what they are called. And I briefly flirted with it, and I do like Dylan now.
Although, when we went to see him, we left early.
Oh, he was awful. He was awful. But,
he
was terrible.
He was bloody awful. He wasn't trying, was he? Put a hat on, that's about it.
He was taking the pee out of us.
Out of you?
Yeah.
Specifically us, yeah.
Yes. Captain and Ian, your show's rubbish, man.
You should have come 20 years ago when I was still singing.
He called me Judas. I said, I don't believe you, Bob. Actually, by the way, I was expecting a big laugh. There was one point he did something.
Yeah.
What did he do? And I shouted out Judas.
Yeah.
And no one said anything.
Because we were surrounded by kids.
No, I went, Judas! No one said anything, Drake. That should have got a big laugh.
I think it's Bob Dylan. He's got to be the person that's had most books written about him. He's got to be, hasn't he?
Yeah, more so than the Beatles.
But he also is a bit of a Brian Blessed, isn't he? Just people ask him questions, he makes it up.
But if you want to laugh, Dredge, go and watch Bob Dylan's rehearsals for We Are the World. It's 10 minutes that you will absolutely enjoy. But here's the point for Dylanologists is he has not written a song in 8 years. He's certainly not released an original song.
Mm-hmm.
In 8 years. So for this to be released is a huge thing for Dylan fans. The fact that it's 17 minutes long is great.
They'll lap it up.
It would have been great if he'd have gone, I'm in isolation for 2 weeks and I wrote this song. And he'd, be like, wow. But it's not. It's quite an old, it's old. I mean, it's in the last probably 8 years. And it's good that it exists, but it wasn't, I didn't really. Well, let's have a little. You've asked can for you play, it, Dredge.
Can you play the end? Because I haven't got to the end.
You want to read the back page?
So cheating. Tempted.
I want
so
to know
tempted.
What happens at the end.
So tempted to play the whole bloody thing.
No.
All right, hang on a second. Here we go. Let's get to kind of like the last 6 minutes. Murder Most Foul. I'm not going to play all of it. Here we go. Hang on. Where's Bob gone?
Birdman of Alcatraz. Playbuster Keaton.
I mean, the backing is absolutely beautiful. Beautiful.
Yes, but
the singing is basically brown noise, isn't it?
Play the numbers, play the odds. Play Cry Me a River for the Lord of the Gods.
I mean, I think we've pretty much heard it.
One other thing before I go. You were talking about celebrities that you've asked back on.
Yeah.
Danny Baker had Emo Phillips on once, and he went through his usual spiel at the end of, you can come back whenever you like. He didn't really mean it, but Emo Phillips came back the next day, and they didn't let him on.
What?
Yeah.
No, that's always, terrible.
They don't always mean it when they say it, you know what I mean?
Well, we do.
I wouldn't mean it with Emo Phillips. I would. I like Emo Phillips. Dredge, thank you very much indeed, my friend. 0344 499 1000. Let's go to Naughty Nick. Good evening, Naughty Nick.
There's a chance we'll make it. We're saving our own lives. It's true, we make a better day. Just you and me.
He's good. He's got it. He's got the Dylan We Are the World line down pat.
Hi there, Ian.
Hi, Nick.
Hi there, Kat.
Hello, Nick.
Hello. I would like to sing a song, if that's okay. Not a Dylan song, but I'm eternally disappointed that Andre didn't sing a bad rendition of an Ian Dury song. So I would like to sing a bad rendition of an Ian Dury song, if that's okay, please.
Why the hell not? Go on, who cares anymore? Do what you want.
Here we go.
The guitar on this is great.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll is all my brain and body need. Sex and drugs and rock and roll.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Side by side, back
Come on! What a song! I do. I may have just got something in my eye there. Excuse me, dear listener. 0344 499 1000. That's a great song, isn't it, Kath?
I might just need a moment. Flipping egg, what is that?
It's magnificent, and it's weird that it's become a job. I remember it being a big hit for kids when maybe 1983, 84, yeah, perhaps, and I remember it being everywhere, ubiquitous. And then it became a joke. And would you remember about 6 years ago, we played it on BBC Three Counties to test it, to see if it was the joke that we all thought it was.
Yeah, and we said to people, just listen to it like you've never heard it before, and you'll realise just how glorious it is.
It's magnificent, and it really is an anthem for, you know, the isolation that we're all going through now. This is the Late Night Alternative, dear listener. I'm Ian Lee. Who are you, lady?
Catherine, and I've got something in my eye.
And we are here Mondays to Fridays. We're not this week, actually. We're off Thursday and Friday. I think you got Howard Hughes filling in for us. But generally, we're on Mondays. Sorry, I just had some Coca-Cola and I'm a little bit windy, Pops. I need to do a burp. Nope, won't come out. 10 till 1, and we just dick around. You know, we don't really want to dwell on the news that's going on, because that is everywhere. You're very, very welcome to phone in and share your experience. And if, you know, and I've seen one of our listeners who has tweeted us many, many times in the past, Yama Mama, that her partner's been taken into hospital with this dreaded lurgy and has been put into a coma, and we wish you all the very, very best of luck, genuinely. And if you want to call in and talk, you're welcome. And if you don't, you're absolutely welcome. And we can talk about it, but we also feel it's our duty to kind of carry on doing the nonsense that we normally do, Kath.
Yeah, I think we need it as much as everyone else does, I think. Maybe more. But, you know, I think we're all sort of lacking routine, and I need to know that from 10 o'clock until 1 in the morning, I'll get at least 3 good laughs, and that'll be me done.
Okay, well, we haven't had one so far, so let's, crack on.
I don't know, the potato song got me. I thought that was glorious.
I still don't quite know what that was about. I've got cats.
No.
If you're watching on YouTube, you can see on youtube.com/IanLee, the cats are climbing all over the place. One of them, you won't see this, but one of them has done a stinky dump in the kitchen, which I need to clean up during the next news break. Please don't chew that. No, don't chew that. Thank you. Catherine, why don't you say hello to Maria?
Hey, Maria.
Hiya.
Hello, you got through. What have you got for us?
That took a time, didn't it? My signal just went off. First, I'd like to say that song, honestly, it reminds me of my kid when he was 2, just jumping around to that song. He absolutely loved it. All the memories just come flooding back. Amazing. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Hello.
You're welcome, Maria. What have you got for us?
Well, I want to talk about this mindfulness. You know, when you're in that midst of absolute fear, and you just don't know what to do. Well, there's a good technique that you can do, and it's just bringing you back to the moment. Because all them things that you keep on thinking about that's going over your head, you can't control any of them. All you've got to do is control your thought at that moment, and in that moment, you're safe. And I think a lot of people in the world actually need this at the moment.
Hello.
Okay, so tell us how we do it.
Well, first of all, you sit down, you know, when you're
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Hang on a minute. I've got the comfy chair here now. Right. So we're all going to have a little mindfulness moment, guys. So let's do this, Maria. Talk us through it.
Okay. First of all, you sit down and you put your hands out in front of you and you close your eyes and you feel your hands, and you can feel the energy in your hands. Really try. Don't think of anything else. Just think of that energy that you can feel. That energy is pure and it's running through you. And then you can start thinking that energy is in your feet. And you can start feeling a tingling and just a nice thought. And you're just in that moment of just you, just your safe moment. and then you begin to breathe and let all that stress out. And you can feel yourself vibrate, and then you're in the moment, and then you start just stop thinking and just being. And let just let everything just flow out of you, all the fear. Because you're safe. In this moment, everybody is safe. And that's it, really.
Can we go back to the vibrating bit, please? Do you know what? That's wicked, and that's dead simple. I had a thing with one of my 8-year-old, Maria, phoned me up today, and he was a little bit hysterical because... it doesn't really matter why. He was a little bit hysterical, but it was about something that could be sorted out very, very easily, but I couldn't get him to calm down. And did you just slap your ass, Catherine?
It wasn't me, it was Maria.
Oh, okay. I did this really simple thing that I learned on a podcast, the box breathing thing. I said, all right, we'll talk about the problem in a second. But first, I just want you to do some breathing with me. And it's a simple little exercise. You breathe in for the count of four. You hold it for the count of four. You breathe out for the count of four. Hold that for the count of four. And you do that a few times. And the change was instant. The change was instant. We did it around two or three times, I think. And he calmed down. He was still upset. But the kind of hysteria had gone, and I was able to say, right, OK, explain the situation. Right. Do you think I'm angry about that? Because I'm not, because this is what we can do to fix it. Boom. And it made such a difference. And it's a similar thing to what you were doing. It's just forgetting about what you've done, forgetting about to stop trying to imagine what's going to happen and just being in that second.
Just being that second. That's exactly it. And then everything dispels, all that bad energy, because your mind can destroy you. You know, it really can. It just takes you. I mean, I feel so sorry for these people that have got mental health issues at the moment. I mean, but, you know, there are techniques out there that they can use. Just so, you know, there's a great man called Egbert Toll. He's on YouTube.
I bought one of his books a while ago, and I haven't read it. I'm gonna read it. That's tomorrow's book.
Yes, do read it, because it just teaches you how to be in that moment. I mean, you know, he's a great man. And the thing is, even when you're feeling sort of like, oh, just YouTube him and you know, and listen to sort of like what's relevant for you at that moment. And it's a great peace of mind.
Marie, excuse me. Thank you very much. 0344 499 1000. Let's go to Alex. Alex, sorry to keep you waiting so long. What have you got for us?
That's all right, mate. Hello, Ian. Hello, Catherine. I hope you can help. I know what you mean, you've got to look after yourself. I've got a month's worth of food here. I'm fine. I'm a little council flat, top floor tower block, right? But I wonder if you can help do something as radical as, like, when Bugsy Malone helped all the people from the soup kitchen and done something nice for the old people and the disabled people.
Yes.
Well,
you
want to
shoot them with a splurge gun?
Well, not with splurge guns, but with the art of communication.
Right. Could you give me a little bit more information, Alex?
Well, it would be great if we can get an information, a message out to all the lovely, lovely people in the NHS, and just to remind them that when they're in their queue at the supermarket at 8 o'clock in the morning, same time as all the old people and all the disabled people chewing up. Do you think that these NHS people can see all the old people queuing up and all disabled? Wow. And because the NHS have got priority, and all the NHS people and the secretaries and all the people with an NHS ID going first and do their shopping in their nice clothes and nice shoes. And then leave all the old people and all the disabled people standing outside for an hour. So I was just wondering...
Alex, yep. you're wrong on so many counts. You're wrong on so many counts. First of all...
Well, I've seen it Friday and I've seen it today.
Okay, well, but you're generalising massively. Lots of old people and disabled people have nice clothes. And I'm not quite sure why you mentioned secretaries. That felt a little bit mean. And also, I thought I'd read that initially the supermarkets were allowing NHS staff and old people to go in at the same time. And then someone pointed out, well, that might cause infections. So then I think some of the supermarkets made it so that NHS staff could go in first, then old people. And again, it was pointed out, well, that might cause infections. So I think nearly all of the supermarkets now, it's the elderly can go in first and NHS workers can go in after them. But I don't, can I be, Alex, you sound like a down-to-earth kind of guy. Can I speak honestly with you?
Yes, mate.
You sounded quite snidey about NHS workers there, and I don't quite understand why.
Well, no, I just feel that the NHS workers, although they've got incredible hard job to do, being on the front line, you know, they might be a little bit more privileged than the old people and the disabled people.
You're joking. You're joking.
Well, if you're disabled,
you're joking, right?
Well, I'm just looking at the finances.
They're risking their lives, Alex. They're risking... Alex, they're risking, they're literally risking the lives of themselves and their families.
Yeah, in the hospital, you know, I mean, everyone...
Yeah, they're risking their lives.
We're talking to from the porters and the secretaries, not just the nurses and the doctors.
I don't know why you keep mentioning secretaries. They're literally risking their lives, Alex, for about 20... Some of them are on like 26 grand a year... And they could die, or they could go. They could carry the virus and take it home and kill someone they live with. So, I don't understand. I don't understand your tone. Yeah, elderly and disabled people are struggling, right? Struggling, of course they're.
So
and it's awful.
I just thought if
your thinking's wrong.
To the people who are paid to care, if they're walking past people that have to stand outside in the cold with no seats for an hour. Waiting for the NHS people to do the shopping.
Alex, your premise isn't true.
But perhaps the NHS people could just ask the security, say, can we all go in together or can, you know...
No, because it's a health... Alex, I've explained it to you. It's a health risk. It's a health risk.
All right. So, well, I didn't know...
Here's the thing. You've got a month's worth of food. Why don't you go and find the old people on your floor in your block... And see if they need any of it. See if you can share any of it. Again, stop. We have to stop worrying about that. We have to stop worrying about the macro, and we have to focus on the micro. We can't worry about the big problems; they're out of our hand. But you can worry about the two people in the two flats to the left and the two flats to the right. That's what we need to do.
Okay. Well, okay. I mean, what it is, I phone test
the office
on Tuesday,
don't repeat
on
it.
Friday, and today. I said, no, everyone should be going in together, but that's not happening. And I just thought, oh, well, if the NHS people were to help the old people...
Don't repeat it. Perhaps... Don't repeat it. The NHS, oh, Alex, mate. I'm going to let you go, mate. Thank you. The NHS people are helping the old people. That thing, Catherine, it's got to be a human thing of worrying about stuff that's out of their control. What Alex can do there is if there's like an old person who lives next door or two doors down or three doors down, he can help that person, right? And maybe he is already. I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to judge the bloke. He can help that person. But I didn't like that. Oh, thank you, Amy. I didn't like that snide tone about the NHS workers and the secretaries.
No, it's that thing I was telling you about. It's the danger of seeing each other as competition or threat. It's much easier, isn't it, to be able to point out someone else's faults and say, this would be so much better if they did this or if they didn't do that. And then you don't have to take any responsibility yourself.
0344 499 1000. Coming up next, it's a Keep Your Spirits Up special with Barry from Watford. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
But now, dear listeners, this is what we need. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome all the way from the Victorian era with his Keep Your Spirits Up special, it's Barry from Watford.
Hi, guys.
Barry, we have got... You, can you speak into the phone, Barry?
Yes, I'm speaking into the phone. There's a slight delay, as you pointed out. Hello?
I will give you a slight delay up your jacksy in a minute. Now, we had a theme tune done for you.
Delay up your jacksy.
Everyone okay. Leave each other's jacksies alone.
And you just did the same insult back
at
me.
Your jacksy.
You leave my jacksy out of
just
it.
Stop talking about jacksies. Would you like to hear your new Keep Your Spirits Up special theme tune?
Yes, please.
Oh, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Let me put the fader up. Here we go. Here we go.
Keep your spirits up, special. We don't want to go mental. We're all stuck at home. Someone throw me a bone. And we will dedicate the special. The basket don't work. That's good, isn't it?
Lovely.
That is good.
It's a little bit... I don't think you're allowed to call people mental anymore.
Oh. Well, and also at the end, it didn't really work, the rhyme at the end, did it?
No, it didn't. How are you,
lovely.
Barry Barrington? How are you, my dearest, oldest, bestest buddy?
Oh, isn't that lovely? I tell you what, Ian, something I don't understand. And this is why this is the Keep My Spirits Up special part of the show. Earlier on in the show, you described your show as a frivolous phoning. And there's been precious little that's frivolous. People moaning, whining, getting miserable. Let's talk about something else, please. And in the spirit of keeping your spirits up, this is what I'm going to do. I want everyone to imagine a lovely party. A lovely party that I'm going to have round my house. And each and every one of you is invited. Cocktail sausages on sticks. Pineapple with cheese. Sausage rolls, pies, pasties. We're living in a ginster's paradise, in the words of Coolio. But I'll tell you what we're going to have, and we're going to have the guest of honour to cut the rope, not cut the cheese, I hope. Mr. Ian Lee will be there. And I wondered if you could do it. I can put you in the diary as the guest of honour to open the Après COVID party.
Well, Après COVID. When are you thinking of doing this, Barry?
When it's over.
Okay.
You're not available. You don't even know.
I got a feeling I might be busy, Barry.
July.
Busy.
August.
I actually am busy in August.
All right, September.
October. That's unlikely, because the kids go back to school. No.
Let me tell you something, son. I made you. I made your career, right? I rescued you from so many radio stations, and you won't even come. I've got all sorts of old ladies in this place where I live who'd love to meet you.
Right, first of all,
yeah,
I am a multi-award-winning broadcaster.
Yeah, I know. I earned awards for you, mate.
No, you didn't. You won us a silver.
A Sony silver for a filthy story about my Margaret's diary and someone licking her brown derby at the Wimpy Bar. Yeah.
Right, so that was a silver. Since I ditched you, right. I won gold, 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 gold.
All right, Minty Biscuit.
Everyone goes, oh.
Robert Downey Jr. told us.
Minty Biscuit, I get no credit for, because everyone goes, oh, Barry from Watford is funny. No one mentions me. No, I'm the Ernie Wise of that call. No
you
one
know what
notices
they say,
the
Ian?
Skill. Go on.
They go, this is the most Alan Partridge thing I've ever heard in my life. They don't realise you're doing a thing.
They take the pee out of me. I wish Minty Biscuits didn't exist.
No, they didn't know that you and I knew each other, did they? No one knew.
No, but Robert Browning Jr. can kiss it.
Robert Browning Jr., the poet. did you just say? Robert Browning Jr. Yes.
He can kiss it as far as I'm concerned.
He can kiss my butt. As far as I'm concerned.
By the way, how quickly can one show go from highbrow to lowbrow? Literally in a sentence from Barry from Watford.
Sorry. But if you are unavailable, maybe I'll invite some other celebrities to cut the rope. Robert Browning Jr. Barry Court.
To cut the rope? Barry Court is dead and you know it.
Oh, sorry. I forgot.
Why are you going to have rope there? What kind of party is it?
Not a rope, the ribbon. I declare this Afro-COVID party open. And with that, Pat Sharp or someone steps up the decks. Agger-do-do-do. Ian Lee is on the deck. Agger-do-do-do. You thought he'd...
How much are you paying?
Decks. To the left, to the right. Well, it's for charity.
Right, well, what charity is it for?
Testicles or something? I don't know. Whatever. Some of them. Something like that. Anything. Or our wonderful people from the NHS. Maybe that.
What, even the secretaries?
Do. Here comes Ian Lee. Agger-do-do-do. God, he's not so skinny. To the left, to the right. Here comes Pencil Neck. Agger-do-do-do. Ian Lee is on the deck.
Agger-do-do-do.
I wish he bought a cat. Agger-do-do-do. Why don't you do the math? To the left, to the right. We have Robert Browning Jr. I can do. He bloody get here sooner. That's what it'll be, party.
So tonight's Keep Your Spirits Up special is you inviting me to a party to work for free that I don't want to go to.
Well, to be fair, you said you was unavailable, not you didn't want to go, so you said you was unavailable. If Robert Downey Jr. is listening to this muck, he might want to come. Robert or Robert Browning Jr., any of them, any of the poet laureates want to come along, I can promise you a variety of old ladies who are half like a bit of young meat. Some pineapple on stick, cheese on stick, and a lovely disco.
Cheese on a stick, is that what you call your penis?
Oh my God.
Oh, now that is lowbrow. That is appalling. I hereby receive the invitation.
You know you're in a bad situation when Barry from Watford calls you lowbrow.
He's right at the bottom now.
But anyone, let's have a little less of a COVID and a bit more of the something nice, you know, something jolly. You know what I mean?
I will see if we can make some jolly phone calls, Barry. Thank you so much.
All right. Now, look, I want to phone in a couple more times before Thursday and Friday just to keep everyone's spirits up.
Okay, if it's to put pressure on me to come to a crappy party, then save your 10p.
I'll see what I can do. I'll see what can entice you for tomorrow. I'll have a word with everyone round here, see what we can get.
Thank you, Barry. Lovely to talk to you, mate.
Night, everyone. Stay safe. Lots of
night, Barry.
I hate it when people ask me to do charity stuff.
Yeah, but it's testicles. Party
it's the testicles! I think testicles are pretty much sorted now, aren't they?
That's a charity close to your heart, isn't it?
No, it's nowhere near my heart. There was I've been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine because we kind of saw half an episode and I quite enjoyed it. And I did in the last 2 days I've done I think about 15 episodes. Yeah. And it's all right. I like the cast. I like Andy Samberg. I think Terry Crews overacts a little bit. But it makes me chuckle. It's not the funniest thing in the world, but it makes me chuckle. But there was a great bit. One of them got shot in the ass and is all bandaged up and stuff. And he comes in like a few weeks later and says, well, the doctor said I was very lucky. If it had just been 2 millimetres to the left, and 1 foot higher, I probably would never have walked again.
1 foot higher.
There's some nice lines in there. Let's go to Catherine. Say hello to Marilyn for me, please, while I have some Coca-Cola.
Oh, hello, Marilyn, my darling. How are you?
Hello. Long time no see.
Well, I'm glad you've come in. What's going on with you, Marilyn?
I'm having a great time.
Are you?
Well, I'm trapped in the house anyway, and I can't go out normally. But the fun I've had this week, one of my sons lives on the Scottish borders, and he's been putting us on the phone on FaceTime. I've had my tablet, and he's had his phone. Took us a bike ride along the Tweed. And are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening. So what, he put his phone on his bike and took you with him?
Yes. And another day he took us, him and his partner took us a walk through the woods and along the other side of the Tweed. And I went to see the alpacas and right up to my face, they got them, and I felt as if I'd been. And then another day, he took us in the car round the area and to their new house because I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And so I feel as if I'd been.
Ah, Marilyn, I've got a big grin on my face because your lad sounds like a really good un.
It was absolutely lovely, and I got into bed on the night time, and I thought, have I been to Inverleigh then or not?
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. Late Night with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
My name's Ian Lee. I'm on at 10 o'clock at night. It's a phoning show. We'll take, like, phone calls. We'll argue. I don't know. Just listen and see what happens.
Late Night with Ian Lee. Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio says he's happy because he's £5,000 a year richer because of the coronavirus. I'm sure the parents of the 13-year-old that died because of COVID-19 are very pleased for him. Hashtag COVIDiot at Piers Morgan.
Oh, telling Daddy. He's telling Daddy. What a stirrer.
Well, Piers Morgan blocked me a long, long time ago for not that much. So I've replied, you can see I've replied in a very calm and measured way to Daxmoon 8. Do I want Ken? No, I do not. I don't know if I want Gavin. Gavin?
Yeah, how are you doing, my friend?
No.
Gavin, I thought we'd agreed that you weren't going to call us anymore, mate.
Yeah, just one quick question.
No, because it does... No, Gavin, it doesn't end well for either of us if you call. I wish you nothing but joy and love in your life.
Ian, I've been
but
clean
we did
since
reach
we
an agreement that it wasn't...
If that means anything.
We did reach an agreement that you wouldn't call us anymore because neither of us
came out particularly well.
It's not very helpful.
I'm taking liberties, and I apologise.
So, okay. I will. You can phone all the other shows, and I wish you luck. Goodbye. Thanks very much. 03444991000. No, I do not want Ken. Let's go in. Hey,
hello.
Wayne.
Oh, sorry, Ian. How the devil are you?
What you got for us, Wayne?
Hedgehogs.
Here we go. Now we're in. Now we're in.
Yeah, hedgehogs. Yes,
right,
I've converted my dog kennel into an hedgehog hotel. Now, I'm watching my garden now. It's been out of a week trying to watch them, filming them, and see what time they come to eat. And so I've got coming at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, which is quite early for hedgehogs. Normally, they come in your garden when all the street lights go off and the traffic's quiet, but for some reason they're out and about now, which I'm really happy about. Hello? Hello? What's happening there?
Yeah, he's there.
What are you doing?
Well, I mean, How long have you been watching the hedgehogs?
Oh, for about a week now.
Right. What's the most exciting thing that's happened?
Well, they're coming into the garden, and I'm training them to go into a converted dog kennel. I've just taken them into a little hedgehog hotel.
Whoa. You trained them?
Yeah.
Have you trained them?
Well, my dogs are going hungry because I'm using their dog food as a trail.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Now, see, what's happened, the neighbouring hedges have had it all chopped down. And they've been there for the winter. And what I'm frightened of, they might put, now things are getting a bit better, weather's getting better, they might put a match to it.
Right.
And where's all the hedgehogs going to run to? Hopefully.
Your dog kennel. What if your dog's in there, though? That could be messy.
Oh, no, dog's in the house. It's more like it's a little storage. Normally I use it for storage. Right. But I've emptied it and put some boxes. I put some straw in it, dog food in it, water in it.
Gosh. Lucky hedgehogs. Yeah.
Indeed.
You know what? It's a hobby. It's a hobby. We're all
lucky
doing stuff.
What's ruthless about that, Ian?
Sorry?
I thought you said I'm ruthless.
No, I don't know what you do to the hedgehogs when they're trapped, Wayne. Thank you so much indeed. Let's go to Paul. Good evening, Paul. Welcome to the Late Night Alternative.
Good evening. Good evening to you both. I phoned you last year. Kath was on holiday, and you were a bit stressed, and I said, lean towards meditation. I don't know if you remember.
Yes. No.
And I've just been listening tonight, and is it all right to mention the name of a website to you?
Well, it depends what it is. I mean, if it's localsluts.com, then of course
no,
it is.
No, what it is. You know loads of...
it's a joke.
You know loads of online places. I suddenly
made where I met her. Sorry.
Cheeky get.
Stop
it. Yes, yes.
So if you go to... they're both magazines. One's called Tricycle, and the other one's called Lion's Roar. They're both Buddhist websites. And they're doing, like, the really famous practitioners who you have to pay for. They're all doing it free. So if you go on there, and there's some specifically for this pandemic and how to ground yourself.
Good. I just thought good. That's good. Because I was looking for some guided meditations on YouTube today, and I found a nice one that I've done before. Because my TM, my transcendental meditation, isn't quite cutting it. I need someone to tell me what to do and to think and to imagine the brook bubbling and babbling. Me doing a mantra or, you know, focusing on my breathing isn't quite cutting it at the moment.
Right. Well, there's a collection on there, if that's any good.
It's very, very good. What are the websites again, Paul? I'm going to write this down. Go on.
One's called Lion's Roar.
Lion's Roar, yes.
And the other one is called Tricycle. T-R-Y.
All right.
Cycle.
Okay.
And hopefully you might leave a bit of help from that.
I'll have some of it tomorrow before I go on Radio 4 with Simon Mayer, which I'm doing at 4 o'clock. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
How was your day, Bolly? I've not really spoken to you very much.
Yeah, it was all right. You know, it was all right till about, like you say, about 5-6 o'clock-ish. And I just, my spirits just sank. And for no particular reason, no one did anything. I'm just feeling trapped. I'm used to being able to spend a few hours by myself.
I had a couple of visual examples, immersive examples of how different our life is for now and will be for a while. I had this Tesco delivery that I booked ages and ages ago, and the doorbell rang and I thought, oh, there's the Tesco delivery. And I went to the porch, everything was there, and the lad was in his truck. And I said, oh, is this how we do this now? And he said, yeah, I'm really sorry, we're not allowed any contact. I said, oh, no, it's not a criticism. This is absolutely fine, thank you. And he said, if there's any problem with it or anything that's not right, if you call the shop. I said, mate, thank you. You're doing a brilliant job. I'm sure it'll be absolutely fine. I really appreciate the effort you've made. Thank you. And it was just, And he was only a young lad, Kath. Like, he was, what, 23? And he's actually risking his life so that I've got, you know, I've got some bread and I've got some baked beans. So that was one. And then the second one was, I did this order a while ago. And I told my next door neighbour, Betty, who's in her 80s. And so she had a few things added to it, a couple of bags worth of stuff. And I went round to hers and she'd left her shopping bag sort of hanging up so I could put stuff in it. And I called out for her. I said, Betty, I got your stuff. Let's go through it just to make sure I've not pinched anything from, because I couldn't remember what was hers. And I'm getting the stuff out and I'm going, right, we've got some avocados. Yep, they're mine. And then I'm having to wipe the avocados with a disinfectant cloth. I go, right, we've got a pepper. Yep, and that was in a plastic bag. I had to wipe everything as I put it in her thing. And I thought, my God. And I couldn't. And then one of my cats, Lucky, went and sat in her garden in between us. But neither of us could approach the cat because we didn't want to get too close to the other person. And I walked back and I thought, flipping heck, man, this is a small thing. This is a really small thing. You know, people are dying. This is a really small thing. But my God, what an impingement on our freedom. What a change of circumstances. And I think those, and the nervousness about having the kids come in tomorrow, and something just kicked in, and I felt absolutely flipping lousy. And I also thought, Digger, we have to go on the radio tonight and entertain people, and this is what we want to do. We want to make this, you know, an entertaining thing. I just thought, I don't think I can do it. I do not, I cannot, in all honesty, sit there for 3 hours going, la, 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 bum cheese, bum cheese, and all of that stuff. I'm perking up a little bit doing this, but I also feel we have to be honest to ourselves. I feel lousy. I feel full of fear. I feel sad. And I'm nervous. But I don't want to make it, I don't want to pass that on to everyone else.
No, I think that generally we're all feeling the same. There were a couple of little moments where there was some light today, and my youngest had a Zoom meeting with all her friends from school, and there was like 40 kids all gabbing away. And, you know, I don't know if you've done a Zoom meeting, but I know, listener, you may not have done it, but it's like a sort of 70s game show, like Blankety Blank used to be, except they're all in little squares, and they're all banging on. And every time someone speaks, because no one's organising it, every time someone speaks, their square sort of lights up. So it was just these squares just flashing, all talking by themselves. And then by the end, there was sort of like four or five kids there, and they had a nice chat with each other. But bless them, they miss each other. They miss each other so much. It's really sad. But thank goodness for technology, you know.
Go on. You've given me an idea. Let's play Blankety Blank.
All right.
Let's play it right now. I don't remember. Hang on a minute. I know someone will know who will remember how Blankety Blank worked. Hang on a second. Alan, remind me how Blankety Blank worked. Yo, blimey. Remind me how Blankety Blank worked.
There's a question and there's a missing word, which is the blank, and you have to guess what the missing word is and match with your celebrities.
Right. All right. Someone's got to match.
So what would the sentence... You have to
just... What?
But there's no catchphrase. That's a different program. So the sentence would be, it would be something like, Alan Caddick was polishing his blank or blanks when his mum told him he was a dirty boy. Right? Something like that, right?
Let me get a piece of paper.
Okay. So Alan Caddick was publishing his blank or blank told him he was a dirty boy. Something like that, Alan. Right. Mm-hmm. So I need you to think of the blank or blanks, okay? But don't tell anyone what it is.
I'm thinking.
Okay. Now, you tell me when you've got something. You tell me when you have got something. Alan Caddick, hang on a minute. Let me get the blankety blank. Go on.
A ceramic dusty bin.
Oh.
Well, you've just told us what the answer is, you dick.
No.
We're supposed to guess it, aren't we?
No, you have to match my answer.
No, we're going to get the callers to
it. We have to say it first. Just...
Oh,
no, he doesn't.
Start again.
No, you just told us what it was.
Well, we have a different one now.
All right. And this time we have to say our suggestions first, and then you reveal at the end, Alan. Don't spoil it.
Got ya.
Got it?
Well, I've just spent ages... Hang on a minute. Here we go. This is what we need. We're going to do this...
Who needs Lily Savage?
Bum, bum.
And now, here's your host on Blankety Blank.
Shut up! Shut up! No! You're the contestant. You're not the flipping announcer. We've got to start again now. No, not only have you ruined the question, you've ruined the flipping music, mate.
Sorry!
Thank you.
Blankety Blank. Now, please welcome your handsome and charismatic host, me.
Oh, hello, Terry Wogan here. Terry Wogan here. Doing the Blankety Blank here with Terry Wogan. And we've got the contestant. First contestant is Alan Caddick. Good evening. Good evening.
Evening, Terry.
Good evening, Alan. Tell us a little bit. I believe there's a funny story about how you met your wife, Alan.
Well, I'm not married, Terry.
Oh, funny story. Okay, so Alan, you stay there. We're gonna go to our second contestant now. Is Sonia? Hello, Sonia. You're live. You're on Blankety Blank, Sonia.
Hi, Ian and Kathy and Amy.
It's Terry Wogan.
I'm Terry Wogan. A minute to one.
I'm Terry Wogan, Sonia. We're playing Blankety Blank now.
You're the lovely
Ian. From Jamaica.
No, dear Sonia, we're playing Blankety Blank now. I'm Terry Wogan. Oh, okay. He talks. So, Sonia, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Me? I'm 82 at Christmas. A very young 82, I'm told by everybody. I've got 3 children, 12 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren.
And wow!
I live alone because I've been widowed 20 years.
Okay. Well, let's go and meet... we're just going to put those faders down for a second, please, Amy. Let's go and meet the first... celebrity we got there. Oh, sat over there, it's Anita Harris. Good evening, Anita. That's you, Kath.
Oh, hello. How does she talk? Oh, hello, Terry Wogan. It's nice to see you. And you sound just like Terry Wogan.
Thank you, Anita. Let's go over here. And, line two is Kenny Everett. Good evening, Kenny. Welcome to Blankety Blank. That's you, Craig. Craig, that's you. Craig? Right, goodbye. Right, get rid of that. Hang on a second.
Poor Kenny.
Close that. Right. Flip. Well, I mean, exactly. Over here on line four, it's controversial. It's Dave Lee Travis. It's the only one I can think of. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. It's Dave Lee Travis. Hello, Dave.
Hello?
That's you, Alistair. Hello, Dave Lee Travis.
Dave Lee Travis, I'm the best radio jockey in the world.
Could you say quack quack oops?
Quack quack oops.
Okay, thank you. And I believe if we put that down there, and it's a bit complicated this, we go over here, and there's Kenny Everett. He's back. Hello, Kenny.
Hello, I'm the funny one in the middle.
Oh! Kenny, oh dear. Okay, we'll come back in a bit. Let's go to our contestants now. So, Alan, you're going to go for... Flippin' S is long, isn't it? Alan, here's the first one, okay?
Okay.
Alan Caddick was doing a little bit of DIY in his mum's bedroom when he fell off the ladder and got a screwdriver stuck up his blank. So, Alan, you write that down there. Alan Caddick was doing a bit of DIY when he fell off the ladder in his mum's bedroom and got a screwdriver stuck up his blank. Do you have an answer, Alan? Don't tell us what it is.
Yeah, I've got the answer.
Okay, let's go to Anita Harris. Anita, what do you think it is?
Up his bracket, Terry.
Is it bracket, Alan? No, okay. Let's go to Dave Lee Travis. Dave, what do you think it is?
Nose.
No. Did you get it stuck up your nose? Okay, let's go and go. Let's go to, if we get, put, there we go. Let's go over to Kenny Everett. Kenny, what do you think? This is it. What do you think, Alan Caddick, where he got the screwdriver stuck up?
He got it stuck up his chimney.
No.
Alan, what was the answer?
Elbow.
Up your elbow. Okay.
Here's the thing. You're supposed to do one that they can think of. You didn't get a point there. Right, we go to Sonia. We go, oh, shout out.
Up his bum.
Shut up, Alan. Sorry? What?
Suck up his bum.
Sonia? No,
up his
you
bum.
Wish. Okay. Okay, no, it was up his elbow, Sonia. Calm down,
oh,
love.
Dear.
Right. Okay, it's your turn, Sonia. Remember, you're thinking of one. You're hopefully thinking of one that everybody can get. Terry Wogan, Togs, Alan Balls. Okay. Sonia was very, very hungry one night. And the only thing she could shove in her mouth was a blank or blanks. Sonia was very, very hungry one night. The only thing she could shove in her mouth was a blank or blanks. Don't tell us what the answer is, Sonia, but do you have an answer? Let's go to Anita Harris. Sonia was very hungry one night, but the only thing she could shove in her mouth was a blank or blanks. What do you think it is, Anita?
Bag of nuts.
Was it a bag of nuts, Sonia?
No.
It was not a bag of nuts. Okay, let's go to touchy feely man Dave Lee Travis. Dave, Sonia was very hungry, and the only thing she could get in her mouth was a blank or blanks. What was it, Dave?
Oh, that's a hard one.
Was it a hard one, Sonia? Was it a hard one, Sonia?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't a hard one, Dave. Good effort, good effort. Let's go to Kenny Everett. Kenny, what do you... Sonia was feeling peckish one night, but the only thing she could get in her mouth was a blank or blanks.
A bag of artichokes.
What? Come on. Sonia, was it a bag of artichokes?
No.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Glen Campbell doing Nico. That works for me. That works for me. 03444991000, the late night alternative. I'm Ian Lee. Who are you, lady?
I'm Catherine Boyle. That was really beautiful. What a lovely song.
It's nice, isn't it? It's good, that album. Yeah. It's one of his like last two or three albums. It might be the penultimate one. And he just does cover versions on there. And he does Sing by Travis, which you must have heard that version.
Yeah, it's beautiful, that.
It's great. And he does a Green Day song as well. And it's just, you know, with that country vibe and that voice, man. That voice.
Well, his voice didn't age, did it? Sounds as pure and clean as it did before.
Which is ironic because our next caller's voice, I mean, Barry from Watford, when did you start sounding old? I mean, I know you are old, but when did you start sounding old? I'd imagine you probably sounded like this when you were about 12.
No, what happens is the old esophagus goes at the back of the mouth there, you see.
Yes.
And you say, you said, I want a bit of cake. Lovely bit of cake. And it's all dry.
A bit of what?
It's all dry. Lovely bit of cake. Lovely bit of carrot. Carrot. So where you might crisply say carrot before as a young man, I don't drop carrot, lovely bit of cake. Crisps. Most of you crisps. It's all dropped.
I just feel like I don't do it now because it would sound disgusting.
Go on.
I just really wish you would have a really good old cough and get whatever is living down there out, and you might sound like an opera star.
Well, all the pipes are all full of mucus.
Oof.
Yes.
I'm all silted up, mate. That's what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I was smoking Lambert and Butler for many, many years.
Were you a smoker?
Oh, crikey, not half. I'd get out and have it sparked one up when I went for a Jimmy Riddle in the night. Occasionally, I'd have a
a little snout while we was making love. Buns the ashtray between the shoulder blades, you know. And, you know, loads of cigarettes. Loads of cigarettes. He would have one on as well, you know. So,
yes.
He'd love smoking gin sex. Oh, yeah.
Did you, I must admit, in the past, I would stop for a cigarette break at
halfway through sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah. Did you, I don't know if you heard Sonia's call earlier on, and she was saying how once she, one of her sons made some hash browns with hash in, yeah, and she got a little bit high. She didn't really enjoy it. But have you ever taken drugs, Barry?
Oh, God, of course I have. Goodness me.
Have you?
Oh, mate, in the 60s, I mean, you think you invented it, your age group, you youngsters like you, youngish. But, you know, back in the day, oh, yeah, we never. But, you know, my drug wasn't so much narcotics. My, occasionally, during bunky, we'd stop the cigarettes. She'd give me some eggy bread, maybe, as that, you know, and maybe a bacon sandwich, cut of sausages and that, whatever.
Yeah.
Enjoy that, then the love making would continue. But whether we had a spliff afterwards was not none the wiser, but did enjoy. Once we had a four-course meal during foreplay, and I don't know what I enjoyed more, the lamb chop or the honey linters.
Give out.
The point is that we have kept that relationship fresh, and it combines food and love making, and I thoroughly recommend it. And thanks, you know, but I thoroughly recommend it, you know.
Hello. All right, well, hang on, stay there because it's hello. Yes, hang on a second because it's time for
yes.
Oh no, hang on a minute. Hang on, it's coming. It's coming. Oh, where's my computer?
It's yours.
What's going on? Oh, hang on. Hang on, flipping it, the computer's gone to cock. Shut up. Here it comes.
Oh! Keep your spirits up special. We don't want to go mental. We're all stuck at home. Someone throw me a bone. And we will dedicate the special. The nasty don't work. It's terrible, that.
Barry, what have you got for us today to keep our spirits up?
Well, me and Margaret were thinking of getting our hair done. Of course, we cannot do it. She sent off for some clippers, and she's done my hair. And let me tell you, I look pretty hot. It was only when I looked, she sent me at the back, and she said, I'm doing a little bit of, you know, little styling. She trammed like, she's getting tits in the back of my head. Now, thankfully, I'm not going out. But I said, so why do you do that, you silly cow? But she don't care. She thinks it's funny. So until it grows out, that's what I'm doing.
Did you say she'd written the word tit or drawn some tits?
Well, it's funny you should say that. It's actually the word T-I-T. But, so, yeah, no, we're getting on very well. We're driving each other a little bit mad. But you know what? It needs must, doesn't it? There's been some moaning minis on your phone again tonight, haven't there? Moaning minis! Come on!
I'm feeling a bit. I've been a little bit moany tonight, Barry. That we could be in this situation for, I don't know, years.
Good.
What?
I enjoy it. Who wants to go out and earn a living? I go out with the dog, take the dog out. All right, you nod to people. Quite honestly, some of my neighbours, it's a relief not to talk to them. Take the air. Lovely sunny day. You know, it's beautiful, and it's the added bonus of you and me have been reunited with Kath. You know. It's lovely. So don't worry, guys.
Go on.
No, I'm just saying, don't worry, everyone. We're going to get through this. It's all going to be lovely. And we got
some. Have you found anybody to host that charity party you're going to do for testicles?
Well, I wrote to Robert Browning Jr. and I've written to some of the the top celebrities known to man, Nick Knowles, Robert De Niro, Anne Widdecombe, all the top people. Yes. And if you can't do it, I'm sure one of those guys can. October, what do you say, mid-October?
I'm busy.
November?
I'm busy pretty
I'm
much. Pretty much. But I've got a lot of bonfire night activities.
December. We do it in December. Combine it with Christmas. Turn on my life.
Christmas, Barry, and Barry, thank you so much. I wish you the very best of luck for that, because testicles need all the help they can get.
Well, they do. Listen, guys, keep happy. Come on, keep your chins up. It could be worse, couldn't it? Come on.
We've got another
lovely sun. Well, all right. Lovely sunny day. So look at the bright side. Get yourselves out. Have an hour's walk every day. And don't worry, I'll speak to you all tomorrow night. Come on, I don't think funny to say tomorrow. Don't worry.
Thanks, Barry.
Good night, Barry.
Appreciate it.
Mama, hello, Mama.
He says it couldn't be much worse. Well, he said it could be much worse. It couldn't. We've got a global bloody pandemic on.
Well, and there's an old man walking around with a pair of tits shaved into the back of his head. I mean, he's got to look on the bright side, hasn't he? Otherwise, if he doesn't laugh, he'll cry.
Let's go to Janet. Good evening, Janet.
Hi. Hi, Ian and Kath.
Hey, Janet, what you got for us?
Hey, I've sent you a photo, but I didn't know, because I haven't got the Twitter. I just sent it to the feedback email address on the website. So I don't know if you'll get it or not.
I won't get that. I don't know if...
We might get it in about a week.
What's it a picture of?
This is something I made on the weekend, because you were saying about, you know, like, you were saying to Kath, what have you been doing with yourself? And I've been quite on edge, like, with this, and then also I'm trying to move. I've been in a dry house for nearly 3 years, and I've been trying to get out for about a year, but it's been really difficult because no one wants to know you, like the landlords. I won't bore you with it, but if you're in a dry house, you've got to be on ESA to pay the housing benefit, but then that means you can only do up to 16 hours permitted work. And so even though I've got two jobs, I can only work up to 16 hours. And then, like, because you're not in full-time work, landlords don't want to know you.
Yeah,
and so, yeah, I found it really difficult. But I've found somewhere, and I just managed to... I just said to them, like, they were like, you can't view it because of the... the situation at the moment. And I said, I don't care. Like, I just need, you know, I'll just take it. And it seems to be all going through, but I've been so anxious about whether it's going to happen or not. Anyway, going back to the photo, I made this big banner. And it's to, like, everyone, because, you know, last week they did the clap for the NHS staff.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was really, really beautiful. And it was, you know, it was really sweet because, I mean, I live in the city and, you know, everyone came out of their houses on the street and it was just a really nice moment of sort of connection, you know, with people. But I started thinking about, you know, because it's all, like, all the bus drivers and the supermarket people and, like, everyone is playing a part in this. Like, even if it's someone who's just sat at home in isolation, everyone's doing their bit. And my papa used to say this saying to me, I've worked pretty rubbish jobs, I'd say. They're just run-of-the-mill jobs. And he used to say to me,
thank you for keeping the world turning. May the force be with you. And it just like came to my head last week. I was like, I wanted to say thank you to, you know, like, well, that's why I sent it to you guys, because I wanted to say thank you for keeping the world turning, because you're doing your bit. Like, I have the radio on literally, you know, as soon as I get into my flat. I'm just, yeah, I listen to it all the time. And I know it's probably not very healthy, but it keeps me, you know, I don't really like being left in my own head a lot. So
yeah, I know what you mean.
I just feel that it really helps. And so, yeah, and so I've hung the banner outside the dry house on the fence. And I thought they were going to tell me to take it down because it's massive and it's luminous colours. and it's there for, because all the bus drivers come past, all the ambulances are coming up and down the street. Like, you know, everyone's doing their bit. And yeah, it was just, I don't know, it helped me get through the weekend, because I've spent hours and hours and hours cutting out all these stencils and then got all my paints out. And it just took me out of the anxiety that I've got at the moment over the housing and the pandemic. Like, I really miss my family and, you know, my friends and stuff. But yeah, I think it's just important to be able to use this time as, you know, like, if it, you know, if people have got these, like, little things that you don't get a chance to do usually, then, like, try and embrace it if you can. But I know it's hard as well. Like you were saying, you know, you just feel flat and, like, play on your games and stuff. Like, I have... You know, I think everyone is having those moments, and I think it's important to just kind of like accept that and go, okay, it's just, we're having one of those times now, and just going to sit down and, you know, do whatever. But like, I don't know, I'm really glad that the AA and CA is online. That's been really, really nice. As much as I don't really like, I don't know, I don't really go online, and I thought, I was like, oh god, I'm not doing that. but I did it with my home group last week, and it was just really nice. Like, everyone was there, we just got to have a chat, you know. Yeah, so anyway, I was just lying there in bed, and I just wanted to say, if you can check your emails and in the feedback emails, and look out for me.
I will. I'll look out, because they do send them eventually.
Thank you. And if there's anywhere else,
rooted, and we'll find it, Janet.
Okay, cool. Nice one, guys. Well, thanks again.
You sound like a really. I'm kind of. You sound quite young, and I'm wondering how your head is screwed on so well. How old, can I ask how old you are then?
I'm 32.
You're
a baby.
Okay, well, all right. Well, you're ancient and you are past it, Janet. But I know.
You
sound like your head is. I know. You wait till you get to your mid-40s, Janet. My God. I remember feeling old at 32, and now I look back at 32 and think, oh, I want it back. I want it back. But it sounds like you got your head screwed on, and it sounds like your recovery is going in a brilliant, brilliant direction. And that's really kind. I've got my fingers crossed that this move goes smoothly.
Thank you.
Let us know how it goes, won't you, mate? All right, take care, Janet.
I will. Thank you. Bye.
03444991000. Arlene, Tim, Dave, stay there. We'll come to you in a bit. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10, with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to Gavin. Good evening, Gavin. Gavin, can you hear me?
I can. Are you? I'm listening to you.
Right. Okay, I'm listening to you. This is a listen-off. Welcome.
Thank you. I've just got this idea to keep us cheerful in these worrying times. Anyway, on your show.
Is it We'll Get Stoned? Show. I'm in. Let's do it. Roll a fat one. Huh?
I love the show. Excuse me. Basically, a tune from the listener from the 70s to 80s for you to guess from a 70s and 80s film or series or anything like that. And if you don't get it, you have to pleasurably
kill a chicken.
Response to Raspberry saying, no, don't get it, that's all.
Well, go on then.
Sounds
you
like
do
a
one.
Lot of fun.
Can I begin?
Hang on. Yes, do one. I'll get it. I know
I'll
everything.
Begin with the cartoons.
Somebody's a miserable, Kath.
Was that pleasurable enough?
Yeah.
Shut up.
With a stop being a for you to guess.
Stop being a party Rupa. Just do it, man. Shut up, Catherine.
You shut up.
Okay, here goes. First one, a 70s sitcom.
On the buses?
Yep.
Yeah, well, and don't tell me it's a 70s sitcom, because then, as you know, I instantly think of On the Buses.
And another one, an 80s series.
Professionals.
It's the Professionals. I mean, that's where's correct. The challenge yeah. in this? Where's the challenge in this?
But somebody might ring you up, Ian, and we have all guess, and there might won't. Be a couple of challenges.
They won't. I watched too much television in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. Too much. It's
really?
All in here, and I'm pointing to my brain. It's all stored in here on microfiche. My brain has got more information in it than all of the libraries on this planet and all of the libraries. Oh, Catherine, guess what they found on Mars? Guess what they found on Mars?
A toaster.
A human skull.
Shut up.
No, you shut up. Did you hear that, Gavin?
They found
a... Shut your face. Did you hear that story, Gavin? They found a human skull on Mars.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Where did you read that? Where did you read that? Bullshine Monthly.
Catherine, if I've heard it and Gavin has heard it, that makes two people hear it. We need one more person to back us up, and it becomes a fact. A fact. They found.
I'm sorry to let you down with my idea, anyway, Ian.
It's a good idea, Gavin, but no one will beat me. I am unbeatable.
All right then. Okay.
I've got one for you, all right? It's an 80s kids TV program.
Okay.
You can't help him, Catherine. Okay. No, I've got one for you. No, I've got one for you. It's an 80s TV program, right?
Right. That's a children's program, isn't it?
Yep. It's on...
BBC.
Yes.
It's... No. Carry on. I just want the name of the program, please. And you're wrong. So far, you're wrong.
ITV.
No. I'm not giving you clues. For God's sakes, man. Just guess them. It's a famous... It's a famous...
Oh, man, I'm so sorry to disappoint you.
Go on.
I don't know.
Go on.
We don't know, do you?
I don't. Sorry,
do you want
man.
Do you want another one? Try this one.
Go
on. Catherine, stop.
What?
You can't move on to the next one until... So you have to do a raspberry, my friend. Thank you very much for your call. 0344-499-1000. What did you think the answer was, Kath?
Granger Hill.
Incorrect answer.
What?
Incorrect answer. Incorrect answer. It's not the show I was thinking of.
Oh, not the show I was thinking of. But there's a show you were singing.
It's not the show I was thinking of.
Oh.
Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. This is, dear listener. I tell you what, let me make it a little bit easy for you. Hang on a second. Let me make it a little bit easy for you. I'm going to play the actual music. I want to know, I am thinking of a TV show. I am thinking of a TV show that this is the theme tune for. What is the TV show, please? Oh, hang on, this is an advert. What is this theme tune, the TV show that I'm thinking of? And what do you think it is, Kat?
Well, I know what this theme tune is for, but I don't know what theme tune you're thinking of. Are you thinking of...
I am thinking...
Starsky and Hutch.
I am thinking of this theme tune, and yeah. I'm thinking of a specific TV show it was the theme tune for. What was that, please?
Grange Hill.
Oh, I'm about to blow your mind, Chicken Little. I'm about to blow your mind. Is it Chicken Little or Chicken Licking? Chicken Licking, there we go. No looking on Twitter, because one of those scumbags will grass me up. This is a theme tune to a TV show that I am thinking of.
I've seen a flying sausage.
Let's see if Barry from Watford knows. Barry, do you know what this is? Yes. Do you?
I'm going to blow your tiny mind, my friend.
Go.
Give us a clue.
No.
He's right. Give us a clue had the same theme tune as Grange Hill. Listen, here we go.
No.
Yeah, I know. Hang on.
And here's your host, Michael Asport. Thank you very much. Welcome to Give Us a Clue.
Isn't that the same theme tune? Isn't that insane, Barry?
It's a funny one. You know the theme to Steptoe and Son? They used to play that on Parliament Today whenever Corbyn went up to the dispatch box. Incredible to share two theme tunes.
Actual scenes. Catherine, has your mind been blown by the knowledge that Barry and I have spaffed on you?
Yeah, it has, because the one I remember, obviously being way younger than both of you, I mean, considerably so.
Well,
I remember the, we're asking you, give us a clue.
There you are. Catherine's going to blow you now, Ian. Go on.
I am not.
Oh, sorry, I mean blow your mind now.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. Hang on a second. While we're in the mood for music, which is it going to be? Is it going to be A? Is it going to be B? Is it going to be B? Is it going to be A?
Mine.
It's
not
A.
Mine.
Keep your spirits up.
What have you got for us today, old man?
Well, I'll be honest with you. It is a Keep Your Spirits Up special, but it's been blown out of the water by your news that a human skull was found on Mars.
I know. I'm sorry. That should have been the show opener. A human skull has been discovered on the planet Mars.
Is that true?
Yes.
No.
Yes, it's true.
No,
it's not even a thing. It's true.
Come on.
How can you casually just toss that in? I can't believe it. It's amazing.
I know. It's true. We need to get that. In fact, I'm putting this call out into the ether. Professor Joseph Leavens.
He is the man.
If you are, he's probably got a photograph of it. If you are listening, we are not on tomorrow or Friday, but we'd love to speak to you either tonight or next week. We would love to speak to you about the human skull discovered on Mars, which backs up my theory that we all come from Mars.
He probably would have needed a bit more gnosis, really, knowing him.
Probably would have done. Yes.
I suppose.
Keep our fingers crossed, won't we, Barry?
Not half, not half.
Yeah, isn't it? So yes. Now we know that they found a human skull on Mars.
Yes.
What have you got tonight to keep our spirits up in this time of global pandemic and mass deaths?
I wanted to talk you through something you've never let me talk about, and my beautiful wedding to my lovely wife.
Oh, yes, please. Yes, please. Yes,
what? You're romancy music.
Yes, you want some romancy?
Yeah, keep us all happy.
Let's get some romancy music. Hang on a second. It... Let's try.
That's it. Yes.
Any good? Yep, go on then.
Ooh. Imagine walking down the aisle, my Margaret being accompanied by her dad, a fabulous fella. I was waiting with my best... Not really romantic, you know what I mean? I was waiting with my best man. You got another one?
You carry on, I'll find something.
I was waiting with my best man when this creature, this gorgeous creature came
through. Ring-a-ding-a-dong-dong.
Ring-a-ding-a-dong. And suddenly, as I looked round, I saw her. Looks aren't everything. Let's be clear about that. She's a lovely personality. Yes. She approached me. She had the veil over her face. Ooh. I lifted it, and after a moment of shock, I kissed her on the cheek. God, she was beautiful. She looked like £100, she really did. I took hold of her hands, and it's those little things you enjoy, the funny little jokes. She gave me her finger, I squeezed it, she farted. There was not a dry ice in the house. There wasn't any dry ice in the house, dry eye in the house. Oh, I meant to say.
Yes.
Yeah. And we've been very happily married ever since. Okay, you know, the face is, well, it's not everything, and all that will clear up at some point, I'm sure. But she's a wonderful woman, and it's a very deep kind of love we've got, or Stockholm Syndrome, one of the two. But we've been having a lot of fun together, and of course, being alone together during the day, there's an awful lot of sex going on.
Oh.
Romantic sex, cheeky sex, on the buses style sex, but mostly passionate sex.
Passionate.
Very, very passionate.
Okay.
And I want to leave you with that image, guys. Good night, all.
Thank you. We're going to play the song that you had your first dance to on your wedding.
Oh, thank you. Me.
Good night, Barry. I'll make love to you by Boys to Men for you and
can you hear
Margaret.
Me still?
Yeah.
Yes, we can, it's unfortunately. Lovely. I can't cut you off from where I am. So goodbye.
Oh, this is romance, isn't it? Old-fashioned. And though I'm again alight, for tonight is just your night, we're gonna celebrate. With sex.
Is it the boys making love to each other?
They're singing to each other.
Here comes the chorus. Here comes the chorus, guys. Everyone get ready. To
your hands, I will do anything.
I need only if I'll make love to you. If you want me to, and girl, don't do that.
I don't know anything about the song. The best of Ian Lee on
Talk Radio. Good evening, how are you?
I'm very well, Anthony. What have you got for us tonight?
I'm going to go to Kimmy now. You lied to me and you told me a porcupine, you did.
I didn't tell you a porcupine. What are you talking about?
You said Barry died.
Oh, that was a recording of Barry we just played then. That was a classic. We're calling that feature classic Barry.
No.
I thought he had died. I'm not convinced that's the real Barry, but if it is, he's speaking from beyond the grave. You shouldn't be angry with me. You should be pleased. You should be pleased that Barry has risen from the dead.
Good old guy, Barry.
There you go.
Obviously, the Colin Price is not, you know, all that good. People are dying that.
It's not all that good at all, mate. It's pretty loud.
I'm feeling a bit low and disappointed, you know, because I'm still missing my partner who I've been for 5 years. And still struggling to get through this you know, this time, because I miss her during the day when she's here, and all the memories will. And it's hard to take in him, you know. I don't know how to go with the flow kind of thing,
putting one foot in front of the other, and you've just got to keep getting through day by day. It gets better. It will get better.
It will.
You know, it's a cliche. Time is a great healer. It actually is. You'll never forget her. She will always be a part of your life. Well, then that's great, and that's a real gift. But it will. It's like when someone dies, right? You think, oh my God, when someone close to you dies, my God, I'm never gonna forget them. I'm gonna live my life better. I'm gonna cherish every second. And you might do that for a few weeks, you might do it for a few months, but eventually that fades and the pain goes. You never forget them, but the pain goes, and then you'll go a whole day without thinking about them, and you go, oh, I didn't think. And then it'll be a week, and then you might think about them a lot, and it gets easier, is what I'm trying to say to you, is what I would say if I were talking to my boys. It gets easier.
I understand. You know, I like your cats, bro. I've seen your cats on YouTube. How many cats have you got? Four or five?
I got four cats, but it's not mine I'm worried about at the moment. It's Catherine's, because it looks like Willow's sticking her tongue out at you, Kath, and having a hissy fit.
She was not very happy.
I just woke her up.
Boys to men woke her up, yeah, but I'm tickling her ears now.
There is nothing cuter than a cat's tongue. A cat sticking its tongue out is just the best thing. And sometimes if a cat's had a good old lick, they'll forget to put the tongue away and there'll just be a little bit of tongue sticking out. And it's the best. They forget to put their tongue away, the idiots. And it just sticks out. And if you've got a dark cat and there's, you know, pink thing sticking out, wonderful. Love it. My cats are great. I love them. They're a joy. They're a pain in the bum. And I would not have it any other way, Anthony. They are the gift that keeps on giving.
I'm actually allergic to cats, by the way.
Well, in that case, I'm going to have to cancel the invitation to my house. Anthony, nice to talk to you, my friend. Take care. It will get better, I promise. Let's go to Steve. Good evening, Steve.
Hello there. I rang up about Steve. Give us a clue at first, and Barry beat me, didn't he?
Barry, I would like to apologise, Steve. I thought that section was distasteful. I thought it was unpleasant. It certainly made me actually, I sicked up a little bit. I swallowed it, so you won't have noticed. And yeah, and he ruined the Grange Hill Give Us a Clue teaser that should have ran all night. And that he ruined it. And I would like to apologise, Steve. He's not kept our spirits up this week. He's actually lowered them. He is, I'm going to say it, Barry is worse than COVID-19. There we go.
Ooh,
I've said it.
Wow. Ooh, that's harsh.
It's harsh, but fair. What can we do to make...
What was Cat's one? Was that Johnny Briggs? Johnny Biggs, or whoever he was?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Well,
would you like to make love to me?
Are we okay tonight?
Steve, just glossing over that once in a lifetime invitation I was making to you, Steve. Never getting it again. I'm on top of the world tonight, actually, and I'm looking forward to having a couple of days off. I'm about to dive into 2 weeks of having the boys. Pretty much, they might go back for a day or two, but their mum is really working a lot the next couple of weeks. And it'll be a challenge when I'm doing the radio and doing this, but it's a challenge I'm excited about. And we've got some fun things lined up. So I'm good. Kath, you all right, love? You all right, love?
I think we'll be all right, yeah. I'm going to just throw myself into making this as unweird as possible for the kids. That's all you can do.
How do you know, you can't sometimes get yourself motivated, Ian? And you know, sometimes, does it sort of like wane off when you've got the kids there? Does it get easier? Or you still feel that? Or do you... Is it some days better than others? Or do you just sort of like jump up?
Some days it's better than others. It's better than others. And some days, if it's too much, then I rely a little bit too much on Fortnite. And I try my best not to be grumpy, because that is my default setting, is to be a little bit snappy and a bit grumpy. And I've spoken to them about it. I've spoken to them saying, funnily enough, when we got in tonight, first thing they did was jump on the computer while I was still taking my coat off, and they wanted me to fix something. And I did get a bit snappy. And then I had a chat with them afterwards. I said, I'm really sorry I got snappy. It's just, I've not seen you. And I felt a little bit disappointed that you went straight to the computer. And also, I'm not feeling very well. I've had this headache for weeks. It's ongoing headache. And I said, it might be coronavirus. I don't know. Don't think it is, but it might be. And it's just making me a little bit short tempered. So if in the next couple of weeks you're here, if I snap, I'm going to try not to, but if I snap, you have full permission to go, Dad, you're snapping because you've got a headache. And and I said, I'll probably snap again. And then 20. So, it can be difficult. But because I don't see the boys, as you know, that much, because they don't live with me, it makes it easier to be more focused on the times that I do have them, I think.
Yeah.
So it'll be tough next week going to bed at, you know, 1 and getting up at half 6.
You mean it's sort of like there hanging over, but it's sort of like put to a little side. Is that what you sort of mean?
Yes, but also if I need a little weep, I can nip upstairs and have a little weep for 15 minutes in the bathroom. Yeah, yeah. You know, if I they're very good at letting me have a little doze for 45 minutes if I need it. If I need a bit of time to go and phone my sponsor or someone in recovery, I can do that. I did an AA. What did I do? Was it a meeting? I think I did an AA meeting last week while the boys were here, and they were cool with it. They're old enough that I can leave them on their own for a couple of hours, you know, downstairs. So, you know, but I'm also aware of my responsibility to be the parent, to be one half of the parenting team, to guide them through this insanity as safely and as carefully as possible. And that's a big responsibility, and I'm certainly going to put them before me. You know, I don't want to let them down with this, because this is here's my prediction. We're going to have years after this of mental health issues, years of people dealing with alcoholism and mental health. But also, I think in about 20 years' time, the kids are going to be, a lot of them will be in therapy, talking about what we're going through now, and it's up to us as parents, and it's tough, and we're all going to lose our tempers with our kids, and we're all going to snap, and that is fine as long as you explain it afterwards. But it's up to us as parents to try and make this situation cause as the least amount of damage possible. It will damage them, I'm pretty sure of it. It will damage most of the kids, and it's up to us to make sure it causes the least amount of damage.
I think though we underestimate how understanding they are sometimes, though.
Yeah.
I think they know better than probably what we give them credit for.
Mm. Yep.
I think
so,
anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, well, it was nice to speak to you anyway. I shall let you carry on and listen to Barry again, or not.
Nice one.
Nigel.
Thank you so much.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, Mark.
Hello, how you doing, all right?
I'm all right, Mark.
Good stuff. Cool. And hi, Kathy, right?
Hi, Mark. Yeah, I'm fine.
A couple of things. Mind blown by the Give the Clue grandchild thing, because I'm of a certain age when grandchild was like the big thing. But I don't know if I can do this back to you guys. It must have been love. I was mind blown about 6 months ago when I found out that was initially a Christmas song. Did
what?
You guys know?
Which one? It must have been love, but it's over now.
Yeah, it was originally a Christmas song. So basically they are, and I Wikipedia'd this because, you know, it's what you do, isn't it? It had sleigh bells at the beginning, and there was a word in it, like winter or Christmas, that they re-recorded. People from Pretty Woman wanted a song by Roxette, and they asked them for something. They didn't have time to do a new song, so they just used that one, which had been out about 2 or 3 years before that. Took off the sleigh bells at the beginning, got... I can't remember the name of the lady from Roxette now who died recently. What's her name?
Anna Uni. Was it Anna Uni?
Anna Uni.
I
don't know. It sounds quite Swedish. That'll do.
Yeah,
her name was Marie.
It, Kath, I've got it right.
Marie.
Anna Uni.
Marie. Yep. My wife,
Marie Fredrickson.
Yeah, they got her to record The Word That Was Winter, and bang, number one single.
Gosh.
There you go. So what do you mean? It had like sleigh bells and stuff on?
At the beginning, yeah. If you YouTube the original version of It Must Have Been Love, you'll hear a sleigh bell introduction.
Okay, well, I'm going to take your word for it because I can't. I'm reading about how James O'Brien might have coronavirus. Okay, well, here's one for you. What's that song by Madness, Kath, that I'm thinking of?
Which one?
I don't remember.
Last Train to Cairo, Must Be Love.
Yes.
We know that.
It's Garth not. That's Labby Siffrey.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, no one's impressed by that. Okay. Well, that should be impressive.
I think a lot of the early Madness records were all covers, weren't they? Because they were all into Prince Buster, Star scene in Jamaica, and that kind of stuff.
I like the one. I like the song. I like one song Madness did, but I found them a bit annoying. Really?
Bit frenetic. Bit frenetic for you.
I don't know that one. Mark, have you seen the film that Madness made?
No, I'm not sure I'm aware of it either, actually.
Madness made a film really early on in their career, made a movie, and it is about how Madness got together. And I watched it years ago, and it's brilliant. And so it's them telling the story of Madness, like acting it out, like in a movie. They're all playing their own parts, and it's called something like "Here It Is Now." Once more again, ring a ding a ding. What's it called? It's called all best. It's got words in the name. And it's a good film. And do you know what? I'm going to find it, and I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Cool. Has it got people like Elvis, people from the Stiff Records label in it, like Elvis Costello and Nick Drake and all that lot? Has it got people like that in it?
I don't remember. All I remember is Suggsy from Madness having a fight in a toilet with some skinheads. That's all I remember. But it's a decent. I remember it being a good old film. I don't know what that film.
I'll try and locate it. Some stuff's difficult to get, isn't it? Like I wanted to watch Please Sir, the movie a couple of months ago because I like it, and I can't get it on any streaming sites. No one's uploaded it on YouTube for a month or whatever. I can't get hold of it. I can watch the theme tune by Scylla. I can get that on there, but I can't get the
I was asked to do a little promo thing today for the company that owns loads of films, and I was going through the films. I had to pick three or four films I liked, and one of the films was from 1979, and it was the Rising Damp movie, and I was astounded. Right. It must have been after Richard Beckinsale died, because he's not in it. There's someone else playing Richard Beckinsale. And Catherine, here's what blew my mind. Do you know who directed the Rising Damp movie?
Oh, it wasn't.
I'll give
Joe
you a clue.
McGrath,
he's been a guest. It was Joe McGrath. Directed the Rising Damp movie from 1979.
It was brilliant.
What a world it all exists. Take It or Leave It, the film was called, with Madness. Take It or Leave It, starring Madness.
Go and watch it. I will. One of the reasons I find it's a keeping spirits up thing. I think everyone needs that at the moment. It's a bit of a, using the show as a bit of a plea. I was about to start a new job on Monday, so I don't mean to turn this into the Jerry Vine show or anything, But that job's been pulled. And,
we got a text from a truck driver, and it says, Jeremy, I'm a big, burly truck driver, but hearing Mark's call, I just had to pull into a over into a lay-by, and I'm now in tears. And that's from a truck driver.
Right. And then Jeremy will condone or advocate the other caller and go, oh, I don't know why you're doing that then, Mark. Basically, it was looking bad. I'm on garden leave, actually, until Friday. And it was a bit of a lot of calls. My existing firm don't want to take me back because of what's going on. I hope that's the reason. But they're not being explicit about that.
Because of the murder.
Because of the murder. Don't tell anyone. But I was watching the guy from Money, Martin Lewis. And he said that basically my existing firm are allowed to withdraw my notice and put me on furlough. And he's had confirmation from the Treasurer about that, but there's nothing about it online. So it's just a bit of a plea to anybody that's listening that might have any kind of welly about escalating that and putting that on there, because my firm are worried about doing that in case they're breaking any laws and they get done for fraud or that kind of thing. They're very, very by the book. So it was just a little bit of a plea if anyone is out there, if anyone is able to escalate that or anything like that at all, or even sort of...
Mark, can I ask you a question? Have you listened to this show before?
Of course I have,
Have you heard the quality of the callers that we get to? Let me rephrase that. Have you heard the idiots that phone this show? Do you honestly think any of our callers, do you think Alan Caddick is going to be able to help you?
You never know.
I'm teasing.
You're right.
I'm teasing. Mark, are you on Twitter or anything?
Facebook.
Okay, I was going to say, if you're on Twitter, you could tweet me and I could retweet it. That would be a place. Listen, actually, if anyone's listening...
I've got a Twitter account. I'm not sure if it's alive, but yeah, I'll tweet you.
Tweet me with the request and I'll retweet it, and maybe someone who's following might be able to help, mate. I wish you the very best of luck, Mark.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you for your call.
One more thing. Have you checked out what Nathan's doing, right? Nathan said. He's doing something cool. It started today. You like this?
Yeah.
It's the Beatles in isolation lockdown.
Yeah.
Every day he's going to be doing a Beatles-related song, starting with something from The Day That Paul Met John and finishing with Real Love, something every day. And today he did a Lonnie Donegan song, and I think it was Put It On The Style, and he did Let's Play House by Elvis to replicate what was happening on that day. And every day he's going to do something different until, hopefully it won't get that far.
Until John gets shot. Mark, I will check it out. Thank you. I love Nathan Persad. We're going to be late for the adverts, but I'm being typed on my screen that we have someone very important has just called in. Let me just see. Gosh. Wow. Okay. We've got a very special guest. Catherine has just called in. So the
exciting times
can go and hold. I don't know what to say. I'll just say welcome, Professor Joe Lavens. Good evening, Professor.
Wow.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. That's Ian. Is that right?
This is Ian. We've spoken before, and Catherine, who's my co-host. Professor Joe Lavens, for those who don't know, is probably the leading, certainly in the top 50 leading UFO experts in the world currently at the moment. Thank you so much for calling in. We were talking about, there was a big, big news story recently. They have found a human skull on Mars, Professor. And, of course, we know that you think humans came because aliens came to Earth and I think done it with a monkey.
That is cool.
But you are, I just wondered, and I can just see you've sent me some, what are these, photographs you've sent me?
Yes, indeed. I've got some diagrams that I wrote, I drew myself, based on some work by the conspiracy theorist Scott C. Waring, who has, I believe the story that, yeah, it's pretty conclusive. The skull that he has reported on Sol 410, I've drawn next to it an alien, as I understand it, an extraterrestrial. It's
okay, I'm going to retweet this.
Okay. Please, it is only a diagram. It's not factual. It's very much my interpretation.
Rocks. Okay, I'm going to tweet these. First of all, do you buy this story? Do you think they have found human skull on Mars?
Oh, not only that. Yeah, very much so. Just to recap the story, through the NASA site Midnight Planets, Scott C. Waring claims to have found evidence of a skull. He goes one step further by saying the skull actually appears to show signs that it died in pain. You see the teeth showing. You see the lips parted. If you look at the skull I've drawn, and it's in a green color, which is the traditional scary color of Mars. I've shown the mouth, the wide open mouth. I think in the gray, he does look like he could have died in pain. The jaw and cheek eye ridges are well pronounced. The nose looks human, but wider, thicker on the top. I didn't get the detail of the back of the head, but it seems to have part of the neck and the head still attached to it. So it's my interpretation based on scientific facts.
Okay, I'm I've just got to turn one of these pictures around. Right. Catherine, as we know, doesn't believe in any of this stuff.
A non-believer.
I'm an open-minded skeptic, Professor, but it does seem rather far-fetched. Yeah. Oh, do we not have a tendency as human beings to look for faces in ordinary objects? You know, that's kind of a primeval thing, isn't it?
Yes, I guess you're right. But in this case, there have been so many things found on Mars. You only have to go to various websites to see the skull, jugs, the medieval jugs, a pair of trousers has been seen on there. Some platform shoes, a rosary bead, and what looks like a gonk from about 1978. Whether that's an alien one, something of a good luck charm that children might break into exams.
Did you say a pair of jugs?
Yes, a pair of jugs has been seen on Mars. Certainly, medieval Grecian jugs.
Breasts. You mean breasts?
Yes, sir. A pair of ladies' jugs have been seen on Mars. Quite big ones, quite big ones, wobbly ones, you know.
Well, they'd have to be seen from here.
Yes, sir. I mean, obviously. Obviously, lunar craft have come across a number of ladies' knockers and what have you, but not only that.
On Mars?
Yes.
On Mars. Ladies' knockers on Mars. This is astounding.
Yeah, breasts. Ladies' breasts. And a couple of Grecian pots, various accoutrements for any landing craft. And as you can see there, I've drawn what a number of people have reported is an alien with an arm like an extra long knob. But he is about the size of...
An extra long what now?
Sorry, a penis.
If you look at the picture, Catherine, it's an arm like an extra long knob.
I'm going to have to Google Mars knob.
No, it's not to be silly. It's a phallus, a man's dangle-dangle. But
Mars phallus,
Mars phallus.
And I can see it, yeah.
One
that
arm
was my nickname at school.
Dingle-dangle.
Mars phallus.
Right. Okay. If you're going to be silly about it, I'm just.
I'm not being silly. That was genuinely.
He was from Slough. That's where the factory is.
We've got some comments.
Right.
Laura says, "I'm not standing by him when he waves." Roger, because of the dingle dangle arm. Roger says, "Actual proof." Andrew says, "Is the genitalia to scale?" Good question, Andrew. Is the genitalia to scale in your diagram?
If you look at the picture, the extra long phallus in itself is probably to scale. And if you look, you can just see a pair of nuts under his arm there. So I would say that probably, I've not been to Mars. But.
No. David Nisbet says WTF, and that means what the flip. I don't think he's buying it.
Oh, I thought it was why the face.
I know what that means.
Okay, and Divi says, are they testicles under his arm? We've established.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I'm confused. Why would there be? Sorry to go back to this. Why would there be Greek women's breasts on Mars? And that's very specific.
No. Misunderstanding. There's Greek paraphernalia from ancient times, pre-medieval times, pots, pans, knives, forks. Rudimentary cutting equipment, but
yeah. Knives. You said knives.
knives, knives, etc.
You said knives, and then you said rudimentary cutting equipment.
It means big choppers.
Okay, look, you don't have to. I know what you're trying to pick, but yes.
Did the aliens have big choppers?
Yes, they had things to chop things with. All I'm saying is that as well as that, there are a pair of ladies knockers up on one of the hills in 410, in Seoul 410. But what I'm saying to you, breasts, and what I'm saying is you can see that where the landing craft has gone around, there's various photos, there's all kinds of things there.
Yeah.
And I'm just reporting what I've seen. I've not been there, but I know people at NASA, and there's all sorts of things up there, which will become apparent as we go. So I hope that's been some help to you.
Okay, that's been... That's been really helpful, Professor. I really appreciate that. Is this anything we should be concerned about?
Well, you want to hope that when this whole thing is over, that there's a lot of talk about aliens coming down to save us, which is fine. But you just take a good look at what I've drawn there with that alien. And he's got a long arm.
I'll be studying that after the show when I'm in bed, yeah.
A man's winkle, and you want to make sure that that doesn't come down and do you any damage. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor.
Good night. And as the aliens say, Conkeely.
What does Conkeely mean?
It means good night, God bless. Hope the bugs don't bite.
Do they have bugs and gods?
I'm just saying what the aliens say.
Hey, women's knockers. Big fat titties on Mars. They got big fat titties on Mars.
Okay, you don't have to keep saying big fat knockers. It's not. Okay, good night.
They got big fat boobies on Mars. Guys, come and look through my telescope. They got big fat boobies on Mars.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.